This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game, without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains, and from state line to state line, this is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Time to close down the road trip. Another big crowd in Zebulon, North Carolina, filing in. It is the series conclusion between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina Mudcats on the 3rd of July. Sunday night baseball, a little bit of a change for the Woodpeckers tonight, and we're excited to bring it to you live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and the MILB First Pitch app. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth and on the Woodpeckers pregame show. I'm Andrew Chapman along with Colin Casey. Hope your 4th of July weekend is carrying on fantastic. Ours has been fun out here in Zebulon. We've seen some competitive ball games, Colin. Really, the Woodpeckers had a big win on Wednesday where they went up 7-0. That was their most dominant performance of the week. With the way Fayetteville starting pitching has thrown out there on the mound over the first five games, you'd expect this series to be a little bit closer. But Carolina has found themselves getting some timely hits when they have needed them in this series. They've taken 4 of 5, but the Woodpeckers feel like they're right on the cusp of maybe grabbing another game before this road trip closes down.
Yeah, absolutely, especially after yesterday's game. It was a frustrating loss. Had the lead early on. Just couldn't get the big hit in the late innings, and Carolina responded by taking advantage of it with a couple of runs to seal the deal in the 6th and 7th innings. So, but as you mentioned, the starting pitching certainly has not been an issue. Nick Swanson turned in another good outing last night. We saw also Dalen Mailou got into a little bit of trouble early on, ended up rebounding, get out of the inning, and then Edinson Batista came through on Friday. So it wasn't necessarily a start from Batista, but another long outing that was good to see out of the bullpen for the Woodpeckers. So today now it's up to a guy who's more experienced than anybody right now in that rotation, and Carlos Calderon has the most innings pitched on the season, has also struck out the most batters for Fayetteville this year, and he's coming off a really strong relief outing that he's hoping to build off of. Didn't get the decision in it, but he's a real stabilizing guy in that rotation. You know what you're going to get out of Carlos every time he's on the mound. And right now the offense just needs to back him up a little bit more. Had a couple of home run balls we've seen over the last couple of nights. Logan Cerny with his 12th home run yesterday. But it'd be nice to get a couple more base runners on and drive in some more runs here in the series finale.
Yeah, you mentioned the Cerny home run, 12th of the year. And he ended up going 1-for-4 yesterday. Didn't do anything in the middle or late stages of the game. The Woodpeckers, if you weren't with us last night, did inch within a run a couple of different times. They did so in the 7th inning, turned it to a 3-2 game with an RBI double from Justin Williams. But then Carolina got a double steal and scored a run in the bottom of the 7th to go up 4-2. That was the critical winning run in the game. The Woodpeckers got another run to come back within a run in the 8th inning, a sacrifice fly by Cody Orr that scored Renier Rivas. But in the 9th, they were unable to figure out Edwin Jimenez. He saved his best inning for relief for last, striking out the Fayetteville side in order in the 9th and locking up the 5-3 win. So with that loss, the Woodpeckers have lost 40 ball games now this year. They're 7 games back of .500 overall at 33-40. Meanwhile, they're 2-6 in the second half of play. And while it hasn't been a great start in the second half for the Woodpeckers, they're still within striking distance of many other teams in the division. A quick look at the Carolina League standings entering this July 3rd. You have 3 separate teams in the Carolina League South that are 2-6 to start the second half. That's the Augusta Green Jackets, the Charleston River Dogs, and your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Then you have the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, 3 games in front of those clubs at 5-3. Kannapolis as well, and shocking the world right now, the Columbia Fireflies, who had the worst record in minor league baseball, one of the worst at least in the first half. They've won 7 of 8 ball games in the second half and are 2 games in front of the field in the South Division. Meanwhile, in the North, the Fred Nats out to a 7-1 start. They lead the division by a couple of games. Down East and Salem are 5-3 each. These Carolina Mudcats 4-4 in the second half overall on the season, 37-36. And at the bottom of the North Division, the Lynchburg Hillcats at 3-5, and the Delmarva Shorebirds at 1-7. That is the landscape around the Carolina League. We are getting ready for the series shutdown, Game 6. First pitch coming up at 6:30 Eastern right here on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. And you can also find the television broadcast of tonight's ballgame by subscribing to MILB.TV, where you'll get the voice of the Carolina Mudcats, Greg Young. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey, glad to be with you tonight in Zebulon. We'll step aside for a brief break, get ready for the singing of the national anthem, and on the other side we have starting lineups for you and some more numbers on tonight's starting pitchers. It's right-hander Carlos Calderon for the Woodpeckers and another Carlos on the mound tonight for the Mudcats, Carlos Rodriguez. We'll tell you more about those guys and get you set for first pitch on the other side. The series wrap-up between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats is coming up next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on-field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
The The singing of the national anthem concludes in Zebulon, and we are ready for first pitch in the series conclusion between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina Mudcats, the single-A affiliates of the Houston Astros and the Milwaukee Brewers from Zebulon. Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey with you tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and the MILB First Pitch app. The Woodpeckers will not win this series this week in Zebulon. They dropped a game of 5 yesterday, their fourth loss this week to the Mudcats. It was a 4-3 ball game. Woodpeckers led early on a Logan Cerny home run, but a two-run sixth inning for the Carolina Mudcats was enough to put them in front the rest of the way. The Woodpeckers had an RBI double and a sac fly that turned the game to a one-run ball game on a couple of separate occasions, but they were unable to get that tying run or the go-ahead run, and dropped to 33-40 overall and are 2-6 over their first 8 games in the second half of play. Tonight they face a right-hander, Carlos Rodriguez. He is on the mound and will be opposed by Fayetteville right-hander Carlos Calderon. Rodriguez on the bump, throwing his warm-up pitches, getting ready for first pitch. He has a 2-3 overall record and a 3.44 ERA. This is his 15th game of the year, and he's making his 9th start. 49 2/3 total innings. He has given up 21 runs, 19 of them earned, 4 home runs, 17 walks, and 60 strikeouts for Carlos Rodriguez. He is a 20-year-old out of Rivas, Nicaragua, and a 6th-round draft pick by the Milwaukee Brewers in 2021 that played his high school ball and college ball in the States at Florida Southwestern State Junior College. So let's go ahead and meet the Woodpeckers tonight. The starting nine announced by first-year manager Joe Thon. It leads off with Yuris Ramirez, the second baseman. Leo's Danny Molina is the DH hitting second. And Logan Cerny in center field bats third. Justin Williams is the cleanup hitter and first baseman tonight. Tyler Whitaker at shortstop hits fifth. And Rainier Rivas sixth. He is in left. Jackson Hallmark begins the bottom third of the order. He is at third base, hitting seventh. Freddy Guillamo, 8 and catching. And Woodpecker debut today, Rolando Espinoza, called up from the Florida Complex League Astros yesterday, joins the Woodpeckers today and starts in right and bats ninth. Into the right side is Yuris Ramirez. A leg kick in the first pitch of the evening is out. It is fouled back at 6:36 p.m. Eastern time, just a couple minutes tardy tonight. It is a little bit of a breezy and a very humid day in Zebulon. Unfortunately, we see plenty of blue skies above our heads after yesterday's weather forecast looked awful ugly. We were expected to have a lot of rain today, but I don't think Zebulon has seen a drop, and let's hope it stays that way. A pitch missed outside to Yuris Ramirez, and the count is 1-1. A wind and pitch from Rodriguez. Ramirez lays off. It's a changeup down and in, and he gets ahead in a 2-1 count. Woodpeckers are in the road grays again today. 5th straight game. They've worn that uniform. The 2-1 pitch swinging a foul at the left of the plate. It'll go to 2-2. The black batting helmets for the Fayetteville hitters. Gray uniforms, Fayetteville in that black script across the chest with the red outline on the letters. Black numbers with that red outline as well on the backs of the uniform. Black belts, gray pants, a black pinstripe, and high black socks for Ramirez, who yanks one foul left of the third base bag. And the count remains at 2-2. Game time temperature in Zebulon, 91 degrees. High was 95 today. So it was a cooker outside. And although it was breezy at the start of the evening, those flags aren't doing too much out above the center field wall. Breeze has died down a little bit, adding to some of the heat. And a slider down and away to Ramirez. 3-2. He put together a big swing on Friday night, a two-run home run. Accounted for the only 2 Woodpeckers runs. Fastball outside. He started to swing. Held up. They appeal up the first baseline. Nobu Yasuta agrees with the decision. And it's ball 4 to Ramirez. So he is on. Second half of the umpiring crew calling balls and strikes today. Behind home plate is Corey Gerber. The umpires in the black hats, the black tops, and the gray pants. We don't normally play 6:30 Sunday ball games, but a fireworks show is scheduled to follow tonight's contest. And they wanted to make sure it was dark out for those fireworks, so the Woodpeckers only have to drive back to Fayetteville, about an hour, 10-minute bus trip back home. So Made sense to play a Sunday night ball game, bring a big crowd back out to Zebulon, and now Molina gets into one, hits it deep out into left field, and it is gone by a mile. Leo's Danny Molina hits a two-run home run, his first long ball in over a month, and he didn't leave any doubt behind it. He circles the bases, and two batters in, the Woodpeckers have a 2-0 lead in the first.
And he knew it instantly. He barely took any steps towards first. He admired that ball as it soared out of Five County Stadium. Gave it a little toss to the bat and started trotting down the bases. Good to see him get some of that power back. It's been a while since we'd last seen him leave the yard. And good to see the Woodpeckers get off to a hot start on the road in the series finale.
No doubt that is the longest home run that Leo Stanley Molina has hit this year. Don't even need to see a complete measurement on it. He hit that one about as deep as Logan Cerny hit his yesterday. Hit it onto the roof of the Carolina Mudcats clubhouse that's located well beyond that high wall and left. And here is Logan Cerny, hit his 12th of the year yesterday. For Molina, it was his fifth home run of the season. And Leo also drives in RBIs number 24 and 25 of the year. Pitch low to Cerny. And he gets in front, three balls, no strikes. Cerny at 245 on the year. He has 12 home runs, as mentioned, 44 driven in with the solo homer yesterday and the on-base at 336. 3-0 pitch, finds the zone, and it goes to 3-1 on Logan Cerny, tonight's center fielder. His 12 home runs now rank fourth overall in the Carolina League. Pitch down and in, and a walk to Cerny. Rough start for Carlos Rodriguez. Walk, two-run home run, and walk. Nobody out, and Fayetteville with another base runner with Justin Williams coming up to the plate. And, Colin, let's go ahead and work around the Carolina defense as we already have a meeting on the mound. Three batters in, and the pitching coach, Drew Thomas, needs to go out there and calm down his right-hander.
And the infield will join him, which is as follows. Over at third is Gene Carmona, shortstop Eduardo Garcia, Zach Robbie, the second baseman, and Jesus Chirino at first. Left to right in the outfield, Hedbert Perez in left, Jackson Shorio in center, and Henry Mendez, the right fielder, with Jesus Garcia doing the catching for Carlos Rodriguez.
For Rodriguez, he pitched on Tuesday in the series opener, so this is the second time the Woodpeckers have seen him this week, and sometimes it is advantage offense when a batter gets to face off against a pitcher for a second time in a week. But Rodriguez was much more effective on Tuesday than he has been tonight. In fact, he's already given up more runs tonight than he did all of Tuesday, over four and a third total innings. He pitched into the fifth in his start, gave up just four base hits, one earned run, walked three in that game. He's already walked two tonight and struck out seven Woodpeckers. Here's Justin Williams. He must be licking his chops after seeing the first three hitters in the lineup all get on.
It's almost like he struggled to find the zone against Ramirez, overcompensated, left one too far over the plate to Molina, and then falls back into the trap of leaving him outside the zone.
Very close pickoff throw down to first. Chirinos slapped the tag right on the helmet of Cerny, diving back in, but he was able to get his right hand in. Rodriguez did pick over and check up on base runners a lot when he was on the mound Tuesday, so expect more of that today. Fayetteville's leading base stealer, Cerny, with a big lead, 23 of them on the year, and now Williams ropes a base hit into left field. A low liner that was beyond the reach of Garcia off to his right, stationed at shortstop. He splits the difference between third and short. Walk, base hit, walk, base hit. Two Fayetteville runners on now for Tyler Whitaker.
It's almost like the Woodpeckers are taking out some frustration the last time they were on the baseball field on a Sunday against Augusta. They got off to a really bad start, gave up six runs in the first inning, and now they're kind of flipping the script on the Carolina Mudcats, a new opponent, but that same aggressive approach we saw from the Green Jackets last Sunday at Segra Stadium.
This is the second time this week Fayetteville's offense has really come out making hard contact right away and putting runs on the board. Wednesday they had a five-run third inning and a 7-0 lead by the end of four, but here they are with a two-run advantage on the scoreboard, two runners on and nobody out in this top of the first. Maybe the best start they've had all week when it comes to guys taking their first at-bats. Tyler Whitaker glad to be back in the lineup today after a day off yesterday. Had to deal with a swollen left elbow. as a fastball misses outside to Whitaker, and the count is 1-0. Fastball came up near his chin in the middle innings back on Friday, and to defend himself, he had to put his elbow up in the air to block his face from being hit, and a mid-90s fastball got him right in the elbow. It started to swell up. He needed to be removed from the game, and a double steal now as a high chopper is hit out to third, played in front of the bag by Carmona. He'll zip it across the diamond to get the out, but both runners, Cerny and Williams, advance. Cerny gets to third, Williams to second base, and a wise double steal. Otherwise, it might have been a double play. No stolen bases there for Cerny or Williams, but good idea that they were off and running.
And the way Whitaker was describing that pain, though, to us for batting practice yesterday, is he seemed like it took a little while for it to set in, and once it did, it kind of just lingered. So ended up taking BP yesterday, get a little bit of that movement back, and sure enough, he's back in the lineup relatively quickly.
And now Rainier Rivas steps in.
Good to have him back, too, still with Victor Mascai on the mend and a bit of a short bench for the Woodpeckers this week.
Yeah, you're worried about the Woodpeckers having a lot of guys go down. Maybe one of the reasons that they added Rolando Espinoza, who we'll see in just a few at-bats. He's currently the nine-hitter, up in four batters. A little bit of reinforcements before the Woodpeckers go home next week to face the Down East Wood Ducks. Rivas in a one ball, no strike count. Here's the pitch, and he checks his swing. It was more of a protection swing, really, on a pitch above the zone, and he went too far. 1-1 is the count. Rivas has been hitting some of the longest home runs we've seen anybody hit during batting practice this week out here at Five County Stadium, but hoping to have that translate to the game a little bit more. He does have a home run this week that he hit on Wednesday night, two-run home run over the right field wall, his third of the year. Batting just 169, though, with the three homers, 10 driven in.
First time we saw him homer to right, too. His first two with the Woodpeckers were both
opposite field. Carlos Rodriguez having to throw a lot of pitches in this opening inning. Works from the middle of the rubber, the leg kick pitch. 1-2 is yanked foul behind home.
And I know a lot of coaches like to see guys hit the ball the other way, but he just generates so much power pulling the ball that I think you'd almost want to see him pull that ball to the right side of the infield and into the outfield a lot more than you do see him slice it the other way to left.
Yeah, when he really gets into a baseball, nobody can hit it as far as Rivas. Here's the 1-2, and he chases a high fastball. Didn't want it, but went through anyways. And that's the first strikeout for Rodriguez after allowing the first four batters to reach. He's countered with a couple of outs. And here's Jackson Hallmark coming up right away tonight in a run-providing chance and trying to put a tough series in the rearview mirror. He's 0-for-12 this week with seven strikeouts. Hallmark has reached on a couple of walks. Slight bend in the knees and even stance by Hallmark. Holds those hands up high atop the helmet. Wiggles the bat a bit, and a fastball comes in, missed off the plate inside. 1-0 the count.
Tough series for him so far after coming off a series against Augusta, in which he hit 400.
Base hit here could put Hallmark to double digits in the RBI column. No homers, but nine driven in. He has Cerny at third, Williams at second. And time called. No, it was the pitcher that stepped off. Rodriguez stepped off, and the home plate umpire pointing to Rodriguez. He's confused about that time call. I think he felt the batter, Hallmark, called for time. That wasn't the case, though. Hallmark was in the box.
Actually called him for an automatic ball. Count now 2-0.
Okay, it was a pitch clock violation. Slider missed off the outside corner. 3-0. I didn't see Corey Gerber point to the wrist, which is the universal sign for pitch clock, but might have missed it.
It's not only used in basketball when you hit a big shot now.
That's true. Open base on first, and the pitch. Outside corner, called the strike to Hallmark, and it is 3-1. Take sign on the whole way there. Freddie Guillamo, the catcher, is on deck. Two runs on two base hits in this first inning. The two-run home run by Molina and the single from Williams. Pair of walks and a strikeout for Rodriguez. Here it comes. Hallmark takes a slider very far outside. He didn't want any of those pitches. He looked at all five of them in the AB, and he draws the walk. It's the third walk given up by Rodriguez in this inning. It evens the amount of walks that he gave up over his 4 1/3 on Tuesday.
Now, that most recent one's going to get some movement going on down the third baseline. Action in the Carolina bullpen. A right-hander has just begun to throw.
Freddy Guillamo hunched over in that right side. The Fayetteville 8 hitter scoots off the plate on an inside fastball. So the start of July not treating Carlo Rodriguez nearly as nice as June did. He had a 1-2 record, but a 2.11 ERA over 21 and a third innings. A really good month for Rodriguez. And a high outside corner fastball to Guillamo. Even his May was good. He didn't pick up a decision in May, but over 22 and a third innings, six games, he had a 2.01. April was really the only rocky month for him. He made three starts and gave up nine runs across that stretch. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Guillamo swings and hits a fly ball deep out into right field. Mendez trailing back on it, gets to the corner in front of the foul pole and makes the catch. Freddy Guillamo fell about, call it 10 feet shy of a grand slam down that right field corner that really would have broke this thing open. But the Woodpeckers leave three on. They score two on the two-run home run from Leo Stanny Molina. And Carolina bats for the first time when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. And just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The Mudcats come to bat in the bottom of the first, or the first time tonight, against Carlos Calderon. And he spotted a two-run lead before he even steps to the mound in this one, thanks to Leo Stanny Molina and his first inning, two-run homer. First pitch fouled off down the left field line and into the bleacher seats for an 0-1 count on Mendez. He'll be followed by Jefferson Quiro, not catching today, but DHing, and then Jackson Chorio. Lefty takes outside corner changeup, called strike two. And Carlos Calderon instantly gets ahead. Hedbert Perez hits cleanup. Eduardo Garcia fifth. And Zach Robbie, second baseman, sixth. Here's the pitch. Mendez reaches out and punches one foul into the third base netting. Still an 0-2 count. Gene Carmona hit the ball hard yesterday. He'll bat seventh. Jesus Chirinos is eight. And Jesus Garcia, the catcher, is nine. Slight shift to the pull side of the lefty, and Mendez hits a deep out into right, sending Espinoza back. Sunglasses on, looks into that setting sunlight, makes the grab at his chest, and making his first start out in the field today, Colin Espinoza fields the first out, and let's go ahead and meet the rest of the Woodpeckers defense.
As mentioned, Rolando Espinoza out there in right field. Just to his side is Logan Cerny in center. Randy Rivas, the left fielder. Jackson Hallmark at third. Tyler Whitaker, the shortstop. Yaris Ramirez at second. Justin Williams, the first baseman. And Freddy Guillamo doing the catching for Calderon.
So Jefferson Quiro is in. He takes a fastball strike right down Hay Street for strike one. And Calderon winding, throwing. Here's a ground ball tucked inside of the third base line beyond the dive of Hallmark. and it'll roll past the bullpen. Kicks off at the sidewall. Rivas picks up, throws to second, and holds Kiro to a single. Base hit against Carlos Calderon. Carlos, he comes in tonight with a 2-3 record and a 4.39 ERA. It's his 15th game of the season, his seventh start for the Woodpeckers. 55 and two-thirds total innings this season for Calderon. He's given up 27 earned runs, 6 home runs, 33 walks, 62 strikeouts. And the first pitch fouled off the gear of Guillamo. And Jackson Chorio, the teenager, the 18-year-old, begins in a no-ball and one-strike count. Chorio hit a home run yesterday, his ninth of the season. He's driven in 38 runs and is batting .317. Very impressive to be doing that at his young age. Looks at a slider down and outside. In fact, not only the youngest player on this Carolina team, youngest player in the Carolina League, but also the youngest player in all of full-season affiliated baseball. Here's the pitch home, and knee-level breaking ball, a little bit outside, but it's a now 2-1 count. You talk to a lot of people that work around the Mudcats, watch him play every day, and they say this is a future big leaguer right here to be having the success he already is. Throw home from Calderon, and a line drive hit hard out to center field. Cerny measuring, taking a step back and spearing it at his shoulders for the second out. Very hard contact, but Chorio back to the dugout. There's two away. Kiro standing on first still, and here comes the cleanup man, Hedbert Perez. The Mudcats are in the road white, the home white uniforms tonight with the black batting helmets, white tops, Mudcats in that red team script across the chest, small red numbers on the front left of that uniform, big red numbers on the backs. Black belt, white pants with a black pinstripe down the leg and high black socks. Pitch down in the dirt, and Guillamo trying to throw to second, hit the pitcher. It hit Calderon on the hip, ricochets into center field, and Kiro makes it down to third. What a fluke play that was. And now Calderon is feeling it. He's walking around off the side of the mound, and athletic trainer Eric Braun is going to have to go check up on Calderon. Well, how often, Colin, do you see it to where a catcher throws low and the pitcher has to step away or duck and cover? That time, Calderon couldn't get away from that baseball, and it hit him somewhere in the rib area or the hip area.
I think it was a little bit higher up.
Yeah.
He didn't really get a chance to duck on that ball. He didn't really move a whole lot when that ball did hit him, but you can tell he's in a lot of discomfort now. I think pain kind of setting in since then. Unfortunate circumstance there to have your starting pitcher catch one on a really big fluke play that ends up putting a runner at third with two outs.
And what has got to be bumming Guillamo out about that play is that the ball was in the dirt and Kiro made a very late decision to run to second base. He was, boy, only about halfway to second by the time Guillamo gathered the baseball when it was blocked by him. And had he accurately thrown down to second base, he probably is able to get Kiro.
Chappie, I just checked the replay. That ball hit Calderon in the back of the head.
Did it really?
Yep. Glanced right off of the back of his head, but it looks like they're going to allow him to take some warm-up pitches here and see if he's good to go, but that can never feel good.
Yeah, Calderon going to see if he's okay, and
at the very least, it was a glancing blow. Like, it didn't get him directly. It kind of glanced off and ended up in a left center field.
It did get him flush because it had enough juice behind it still to ricochet all the way into almost medium center field once it got out of the infield. And had that ball been a couple fractions of an inch more to the right, I think, yeah, that does get Calderon right in the back of the head. And Eric Braun asks one final question to Calderon. He shakes his head, and he's going to stay out there, tough it out after the throw from Guillamo. Yeah, glances him in the head area. That play could have been a lot more scary than it ended up being. And Hedbert Perez, after all of that commotion, now digs back into the left side and swings through a slider. So Calderon bounces right back with a strike and gets it to a one ball, one strike count. You have Kiro down on third base. There's going to be an E2 throwing error. And here's a bouncer hit to the right side. Charging on it, Williams from first. Scoops it in with that first baseman's mitt. Calls off Calderon, runs to the bag himself. And the inning has come to a close. So the Woodpeckers put two on the board in the top of the first inning. And we go to the second. 2-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. And just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Woodpeckers carry a 2-0 lead in the top of the second inning. And Rolando Espinoza, ready to take his first at-bat with the Woodpeckers in 2022. Welcome to the club. He takes the first pitch changeup from Carlos Rodriguez. He had to face eight batters and nearly was yanked from the game with the Carolina bullpen warming, the pitch count escalating, but was able to get a fly out from Freddy Guillamo with the bases loaded to get out of the first. And his back count for the second. 0-2 count on Espinoza, the wind in the pitch. A swing and a miss on a slider. And Espinoza strikes out on three pitches in his first at-bat with the Woodpeckers this year. He is from Cuba and was called up from the Florida Complex League after 17 games. He batted .211, hit two homers, drove in 11 runs, and stole 14 bases. So he's got a lot of speed, and the Woodpeckers like to steal bases. So another tool for them on the base running side to utilize in the month of July.
Yeah, he fits this team mold well. Can run a lot and can play a lot of different positions. Mm-hmm. So that's perfect for this Woodpeckers roster.
Yeah, everybody just a smorgasbord of positions for all of these Woodpeckers players. And Espinoza listed as a third baseman on his player profile. Tonight he's in right. So that's going to be the type of player he is. Back to the top of the order, Yuri Ramirez working in a 1-1 count against Rodriguez. Here's the pitch, and a fastball got away very far outside. That was misplaced by Rodriguez. And the count is 2-1. Location was a problem for him in that first inning, along with the base hits that the Woodpeckers managed. Three walks helped fuel that two-run rally. All the runs coming on the two-run home run, though, from Molina. Could have been a lot worse with the bases loaded, if not for that fly out to right. Rodriguez kicks and throws the 2-2. Ramirez swings. He misses at a slider. That's a good breaking ball for Rodriguez. He got Espinoza on it. Now he gets Ramirez swinging at it. And back-to-back strikeouts in the second inning. Three Ks to even the three walks for Carlos Rodriguez. And now it's Leo Stanley Molina.
Bullpen now also has gone quiet for Carolina, so yeah. They seem to have a lot of trust that Rodriguez has figured it out on the mound.
Here's the first pitch to Molina. Right back to the slider. And it sweeps a little too far outside for ball one. Fifth home run of the season for Molina back in the first inning. Over the left field wall, breaks the bat, and lines one foul left of the third base bag. And he'll have to stroll back to the dugout and get a new stick.
Yep, not counting Espinoza, Molina had the longest drought as far as home runs go on the team. You have to go all the way back to May 22nd, the last time he jumped the yard on the road in Kannapolis. So coming up on 6 weeks since his last home run, that one had to feel pretty good, especially since he got absolutely all of it.
Yeah, he looked at his teammates a good amount of the time. He was running up that first base line as to say, see what I just did? And yeah, Colin, first home run in almost a month and a half for Leo Stanny Molina as a breaking ball clips the low outside corner. Molina, a new bat in hand. He was swinging a black bat a moment ago. Now he has a beige-colored bat. What do you think, that beige, Colin, or would you call it a tan bat?
Yeah.
Tan bat?
Yeah, I think I like tan a little bit more, but it's more like a pine color.
Yeah. Here's the 2-2 pitch. And a swing and a miss on a high changeup. Well, what a difference of innings for Carlos Rodriguez. He gives up the two runs on eight batters in the first, but strikes out the side in order in the second to keep it at a 2-0 game through 1.5 tonight in Zebulon. The Mudcats are coming up against Carlos Calderon when we return. H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H Home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success. Bottom of the second inning inside of Five County Stadium, Woodpeckers and Mudcats, the series conclusion. Carlos Calderon delivers his first pitch, and it's hit on a line right to Jackson Hallmark, and he spears it to his glove hand side. Had enough time to take just one step to his left. Stuck the glove out to his left and yanked that one in for out number one, a very hard out. And Garcia goes to 0-for-1. Calderon has retired four of the first five batters he's faced today. Zach Robbie is into the right side. Six hitter and Carolina second baseman batting 241, no home runs, 19 driven in. Low and in fastball for a ball to begin the at bat. Scary moment in the first that almost caused Carlos Calderon to be removed from the game. On a throw down to second base, the throw from Guillamo glanced him in the back of the head. Didn't hit him flush, it ricocheted into center field where Logan Cerny picked it up. Jefferson Kiro was on the bases at the time, he made it to third. And after a couple-minute conversation with Eric Braun, the athletic trainer, Calderon able to stay in there. 1-1, in on the hands and knuckled foul to the screen. It's 1-2 on Robbie.
I think what almost helped Calderon was he didn't really know what hit him. Like, he just kind of realized it after the fact that he was hit. I mean, he never knew it was coming and kind of was just like, oh, I feel a little bit of pain in the back of my head. But other than that, I think I'm all right.
The 1-2 to Robbie is painted on the outside corner. A changeup gets him looking. Carlos Calderon picks up his first strikeout of the night, and he has two very quick outs in his second inning, brings up Gene Carmona.
He's retired three in a row now since that incident, so it seems like he's been all right attacking the strike zone as well. That was a great pitch to Robbie on the outside corner. Throws him with that little two-seam action coming back over the plate.
And the first pitch struck towards first base on the ground, but it hops foul just to the right of the bag. It is lefty Gene Carmona up. And Carmona was a factor yesterday for the Mudcats. He hit a deep fly ball to center field in the second inning that was tracked down by Loperfido, but came up with a single in the sixth and scored the third run of the game for the Mudcats and bounces this one inside of the first baseline. Williams shifted to his left, brings it in and runs it to the bag, ending a 1-2-3 inning for Carlos Calderon. So the Woodpeckers took a 2-0 lead in the first. They've been holding it through two tonight, and we head to the third next. It'll be the heart of the order, Cerny, Williams, and Whitaker coming up when we return.
It looks like it's the sing-along cam.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
The Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The center fielder, David Cerny.
Woodpeckers lead the Mudcats 2-0 as we begin the top of the third inning. Carlos Rodriguez made a correction in the second, striking out the side in order. Had to face eight batters in the first, gave up a couple runs, struck out the side in the second, now faces Logan Cerny in the heart of the order. And to tell you all about it, here's Colin Casey.
All right, thank you, Chappie. The 0-1 to Cerny is on the outside corner. Logan drew a walk his first time up. Had the big home run yesterday, his 12th of the season, a team high. He lays off the 0-2 in the dirt, but Rodriguez, as you mentioned, Andrew, has really turned things around. He is retired. Now, six of the last seven batters he's faced after allowing the first four batters of the ball game to reach base, and can add another one to that ledger. That's now five in a row, a pop out over towards the first baseman, Chirino. Cerny broke his bat on a fastball in. So it's a pretty easy out number one for Rodriguez and the Mudcats defense.
Yeah, and he's broken two bats already too, Colin, during that stretch of five batters. So that tells you his philosophy right now. He's trying to bust stuff in on the hands of the Fayetteville righties, and it's been effective. So pitch location's been the big thing for him.
Justin Williams, big cut on a breaking ball tailing away, and he could only foul tip it. Yeah, that home run he gave up to Molina, that pitch was about dead center as can be. Couldn't really get in on him, and Leo just turned it around. But here he's establishing the off-speed, another one back-to-back so far in this at-bat, and he has Williams in an 0-2 hole. Williams lined a single through the left side of the infield in his first at-bat, and now he lays off the breaking ball down and away. Average now up to 282 on the season for Williams, slugging 410. 1-2 up and away. Next pitch will be number 50 for Rodriguez, so we'll see if he can still manage to get to that five-inning mark. Definitely be a little bit tougher after throwing 20-plus in the first. breaking ball. Bends back over the plate. A called strike three at the knees to Williams. So Justin Williams gets a steady diet of breaking balls in that at-bat, and he was fooled by that last one. That is now strikeout number five for Rodriguez, and the fourth he's had in his last five batters faced. So the base is still empty and two down. Tyler Whitaker watches a fastball miss up and away. That fastball in the low 90s, so not overpowering stuff from Rodriguez. Comes back with another fastball, but this one is low. Whitaker grounded out to third. That moved both runners up. Cerny and Williams, they were stranded there to end that first inning. Breaking ball off the plate. Another 3-0 count. Rodriguez in danger of surrendering his fourth walk of the ballgame. Comes home, and Whitaker swings 3-0, hits it out towards left center field. Chorio runs this one down in the gap to make the catch and complete another 1-2-3 inning for Carlos Rodriguez. Seven in a row retired by the right-hander. We head to the bottom of inning number three. Fayetteville still leads 2-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's not unusual, you ought to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual, you ought to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be mine? It's not unusual to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you. Oh, 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 oh.
Jesus Chirino steps into the batter's box, gives a salute to the umpire. And the eight hitter will lead things off for Carolina in the home half of the third. Woodpeckers lead 2-0. Carlos Calderon back out, gets a swing and a miss for strike one out of Chirinos, who's hitting 207 on the season. Three home runs, 27 ribbies. OBP just under 300 at 295. He gets a fastball at the letters, 0-2. Calderon continuing to attack this Mudcats lineup. It's allowed just one hit over two innings. Stranded that runner at third to end the first. 0-2, waved at and missed. Strike three. Got him with a breaking ball. Down and away. And Calderon picks up his second strikeout of the outing and the first out of the third.
Well, the way the Woodpeckers started this game, Colin, you thought, okay, let's see if Carolina has a response. Maybe we'll get into an offensive punching match to start. But now we have two starting pitchers that are really locked in. Carlos Rodriguez has completely bounced back, and Carlos Calderon's been going from the jump. He's locked in.
Jesus Garcia, the catcher, takes one down and inside. Garcia still looking for his first hit with Carolina, and he gets a fastball in tight, but he has reached base before in his limited appearances. He gets to start behind the plate. One of four catchers on this Mudcats roster. 2-0 inside just a hair. And it's 3-0 to the catcher. Garcia, 0-for-8 so far on the season with the Mudcats. Sees a 3-0 strike. Followed around with a get-me-over changeup. From the windup, the 3-1. Shop towards third. Hallmark cuts it off. Throw across the diamond is high. The tag does not get the shoulder of Garcia. He's able to leg it out. Williams was pulled off the bag, and he just could not place the leather down on Garcia. That'll almost certainly be an error on Jackson Hallmark, and it is second error already committed by the Woodpeckers this evening, and a one-out base runner for the Mudcats.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a routine play for Hallmark. He did have to back up on that ball a little bit. Didn't want the high hop to end up short hopping him, but still one where he had time to set his feet and try and throw accurately, and Williams even had the time to try and swipe a tag and just barely missed grazing Garcia. It was still a close play.
Here's Henry Mendez, 0-for-1. Flew out to right field in his first time up. Long pause by Calderon from the stretch. He looks to get one over the outside corner, but it just tails outside, 1-1. Mendez, the big lefty, 6'2", 175. Coming off a 4-for-4 performance as that fastball just off the plate for ball two. Mendez had 3 singles and a solo home run. Coincidentally enough, in the third inning last night, hit it over the right field wall. Down and away, Calderon pitching him carefully, but in danger of losing him. Jefferson Caro waiting in the on-deck circle. The 3-1, runner going, fastball, called a strike, throw down by Guillamo, goes off the glove of Whitaker. But it's backed up by the second baseman, Ramirez, into second safely. As Garcia did get a great jump. The throw was in plenty of time, but Whitaker just unable to squeeze it.
Garcia, Mitch Collins just recently added to the club, and that's his first stolen base with them. First time even attempting to steal. So he's 1-for-1.
And he's in scoring position with a full count and one out to Henry Mendez. Calderon fires. Swung on and missed, strike 3. Got him with the slider, moving down and in, ties Mendez in knots. After a 4-for-4 showing yesterday, Andrew Mendez now 0-for-2. Second strikeout victim of the inning and the third overall for Carlos Calderon. So it comes down to Jefferson Caro, who was stranded in scoring position in the first inning, doesn't want the same to happen to his teammate Jesus Garcia at second. Breaking ball down and away, 1-0. Bit of a historic day for the Mudcats. July 3rd, 1991. The first game played at Five County Stadium for the Carolina Mudcats. And it's been a historic run at this facility, as this one is lined just over the protective netting into the seats. Look out down there. But obviously, now over 30 years, marking 31 years to the day of the first ball game being played. In fact, it was still kind of under construction. They had to physically raise a flagpole during the opening night rendition of the national anthem. Kind of a makeshift setup with all the construction going on. 2-1 the count to Caro.
I feel like that's always the case with these new ballparks. Even the modern-day ones that open up, there's always a little part of the construction that isn't quite done yet, even though some of the fans are coming into the park. I know that was the case with Segra Stadium back in 2019.
2-1 misses outside. I remember some ballparks as well where they're playing their final season in the old park. You can kind of see the construction going on in the background of the new one. I remember when Great American Ballpark was being built for the Cincinnati Reds. They were playing at then Synergy Field just across the way, and you could see all the construction going on beyond the center field fence. As Caro draws a walk, gets down to first base, the first one issued by Calderon. And That'll put two runners on with two down for Jackson Chorio.
We were talking with Mudcats play-by-play voice Greg Young before the game, talking about the professional development licenses, the PDLs that all these minor league teams signed last year, and all the renovations that have to be made around even modern-day ballparks. And we joke that every ballpark's going to possibly be a construction site next year.
That ball gets away from Guillamo in the dirt and kicks about 10 feet to his right. So both runners, Garcia and Caro, move up 90 feet. And just like that, a couple in scoring position, a tying run at second base for Carolina with two down and their best hitter at the plate.
Wild pitch opens up the base at first, and right now for Calderon, just try and nibble the corners. Don't put anything right down the middle to Chorio. You can work around him if you have to.
Gives him a fastball up high, but Chorio lays off. He hit one hard in his first at-bat, but right to Logan Cerny, his counterpart in center field. 2-0, that fastball is right at the knees. Chorio with nine homers, 38 runs driven in, and a sparkling 315 batting average. For a while, it looked like the Woodpeckers were containing him in this series, but they gave up a triple and then a home run to him last night. Chopper up the middle. Second baseman Ramirez charging. Off-balance throw. Skips it to Williams, who digs it out, and the throw is in time. Chorio made it close, hustling down the first base line, but a nice play on both ends from the Fayetteville infield gets them out of the inning unscathed. Mudcats strand two. We go to the fourth. 2-0 the lead for Fayetteville on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Rainier Rivas will lead off the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, who lead by a couple, and he swings the first pitch and sends a towering fly ball out to right field. Charging is Mendez. He's got a long way to go near the line, but he makes the grab for out number one. So Rivas tired on just one pitch. Carlos Rodriguez trying to stretch out for a fourth inning of work. There is a right-hander still getting loose for Carolina, who's kind of been on and off. He was out getting warmed up during that first inning, but Rodriguez has since calmed down and he's able to get a quick out here. Second pitch is stung by Jackson Hallmark back towards Mendez and right. He'll back up in front of the track near the short porch, and it's two pitches, two outs in the fourth. And kind of eerily similar to what we saw in the early parts of Friday night's game against Steven Cruz, where Woodpeckers were swinging at early count pitches and ended up being retired on them.
A lot of moments this year where, inning starts and suddenly Woodpeckers find themselves bases empty, two outs on just two or three pitches, and
they are a better offense, simply put, when they work deeper counts and they make starters throw more pitches. So got to be a little more patient at the plate.
The 0-1 to Freddy Guillamo is swung on and missed for strike two. Guillamo, much like the two casualties earlier in the inning, flew out to right field his first time up. Takes a moment before stepping back into the box. The 0-2 from Rodriguez. Foul tipped and unable to hold on to it is the catcher Garcia.
Foul ball brought to you by Autobody Carey.
It's the final game of the series. The Woodpeckers will make the trip tonight back home for a 4th of July matchup against the Down East Wood Ducks. 6:05 first pitch at Segra Stadium. Another foul tip, and Guillamo stays alive.
You got any red, white, and blue socks that you can wear tomorrow?
I got some that I had in the Cape League with Harwich that aren't exactly patriotic, but they got the red and blue along with it. So maybe I'll break those out as Guillamo with a broken bat liner shallow into left field for a base hit. So as you were looking for Chappie, Guillamo able to fight, work through the count, battled down 0-2, and is able to send one into left field, keep the inning alive for a two-out single.
A couple of good swings tonight from Guillamo. Felling off those two-strike pitches, get a base hit. Hit his ball to right, pretty deep all the way towards the warning track as well, with the bases loaded back in the first inning. Almost brought home multiple runs.
In steps the nine-hitter, Rolando Espinosa. Watches called strike one. He had a rude welcome to the single-A level from Rodriguez, his first time up in the second. As right-hander struck out Espinosa on three pitches. That one is fouled through the netting straight back by Espinosa, 0-2. By that reaction, I don't think whoever made an attempt at that ball dropped it.
No.
Great crowd on hand here at Five County Stadium. The 0-2, breaking ball down and away. All the red seats in the, not exactly an upper deck, but kind of a facade that runs all the way around the lower bowl. Most of it's filled as the 1-2 is called strike three. Espinosa goes down on strikes for the second time in his season debut with the Woodpeckers, and just like that, the inning is over. Head to the bottom half of the fourth, still a 2-0 lead for Fayetteville. You're tuned in right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Five and six hitters due up for Carolina. Hedbert Perez who's 0-for-1, digs in against Carlos Calderon. First pitch fastball just off the plate for ball one. Carlos has surrendered just one hit so far over three innings. A couple of errors have put runners on base, but he's found a way to pitch out of him, but this ball is hit well down the right field line, hooking, and it's foul ball. Just out in front of it was Perez. Fans who want to get any sort of updates, news, stories, highlights, be sure to follow the Woodpeckers on Twitter, at WoodpeckersNC, or check out our Instagram, Fayetteville, at Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Of course, we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Fayetteville Woodpeckers. One ball, one strike to count. Calderon with a bit of a pause in his windup now comes home and gets a fastball by Perez, maybe trying to throw his rhythm off a little bit. Seen a guy, some guys in the majors do that a lot. Johnny Cueto kind of sometimes delays, sometimes quick pitches guys with a bit of difference in his windup. The 1-2 fastball down and away.
Brian Salgado will do a little bit of that as well. Him and Calderon kind of mess with timing of hitters.
Now the 2-2. There's another long pause. And that one skipped in, and it catches the foot of home plate umpire Corey Gerber. He's been hobbled. The walks back towards the mound. Deliver a new baseball to Calderon.
And Gerber, when he was behind the plate on Friday night, there was a mixing of signs when I believe it was Guillamo was behind the plate and a ball came in that got right over his shoulder and it smoked Gerber in the shoulder or mask area. So he's been taking bruisings all week. Meanwhile, it's been a pretty easy series for Nobu Yasuda's teammate behind the plate. Gerber's been taking all the bruises.
Here's the full count offering. Fastball outside, ball four. It's a leadoff walk issue to Hedbert Perez, the second allowed by Calderon. For the first time tonight, Carolina has the leadoff man aboard. So Eduardo Garcia tries to follow up the same contact he had in his first at-bat. Hit a rocket right at third baseman Jackson Hallmark to begin the bottom of the second. Here he waits on the first pitch. It's at the letters for a called strike. A little bit of a breeze blowing through Five County Stadium. Kind of comes and goes. That one stung out towards right field. That twists Espinoza back. He makes a nice running catch in front of the wall for the first out. So far, a couple of testers for Rolando Espinoza out in that difficult right field. And he's played it pretty well considering he just got in here within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, maybe the offense will come for Espinoza, but you'll always take athletic outfielders, especially when the Woodpeckers played a pretty hitter-friendly ballpark in Segra Stadium. You need guys that can close gaps quickly and be athletic in the corner outfield spots.
First pitch to Zach Robbie is stung foul out to the first base side. Robbie's still looking for his first home run of the season. Has driven in 19. Delayed steal, the throw comes down, and Guillamo didn't have to even put a great throw. Ramirez made the play and made an easy tag, and Hedbert Perez is out by a mile at second base for out number two. That was a bit of a questionable delayed steal there, and looks like manager Victor Estevez not too happy with the outcome there. 1-1 to count. Back to the windup goes Calderon, and Robbie hits this one in the air out to shallow right field. Espinoza coming on, and he makes the catch in front of the wall for the third out. So in the blink of an eye, the inning is over, and Carolina has been held scoreless through four by Carlos Calderon. We head to the fifth, still a 2-0 lead for Fayetteville on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. 2-0 the lead for Fayetteville as we enter the fifth inning from Five County Stadium, Zebulon, North Carolina. The first pitch to Yaris Ramirez, the leadoff man, misses downstairs, and take you through the play-by-play. Here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Pitch to Ramirez is a changeup that he cuts through a little bit early by Yaris. 1-1 count. Leo Stanny Molina, who's homered today, two-run home run in the first, has given the Woodpeckers the only runs. He stands on deck. Logan Cerny will bat this inning as well. And time called at the plate. I believe that was the catcher, Garcia, asking for a moment. Here's the 1-1 pitch. And a bouncing ball is hit out towards short. Backhanding is Garcia, and he booted it. It rolled right up the back of his arm, and Yuris Ramirez will make it on. The Woodpeckers had committed a couple of errors on the defensive end. It was a clean night for the Mudcats and still until that dropped ground ball by Garcia, and one of the best fielding shortstops in our league and one of the top shortstop prospects of the Milwaukee Brewers, makes the rare miss there. And Ramirez is on base with an E6. Leo Stanny Molina now gets a hit with a base runner again. And hits a line drive off the glove of Garcia and into the left center field gap. It'll find the base of the wall. Yuris Ramirez is chugging to third. Vincent Blue has given him the go-around. And now he tries to retreat to third. Carmona has the ball in a rundown between third and the plate. He chases Ramirez all the way towards the plate and tags him on the backside. Leo Stanny Molina makes a heads-up decision. He trails all the way around to third. So the Woodpeckers do get a base runner on third base, but there was a miscommunication by, I think it was really Yuris Ramirez that went against the advice of Vincent Blue. Vincent Blue was giving him the go-around the entire way, and Yuris turned the bag, and then he just stopped.
Yeah, Vincent actually threw up a very late stop signal. I think that's what threw him off, and it was just a heads-up play to throw that ball to third.
And now Cerny drives it out to center field. Chorio cutting it off into right center. He makes the grab, and Molina's tagging to the plate. Here comes the throw. It is up the third baseline, nowhere near in time. And Molina scores. It's a sacrifice fly by Cerny, and a 3-0 Woodpeckers lead in the fifth.
Well, at the very least, that was some heads-up base running by Leo Stanny Molina the second that, you know, Ramirez was held up at third. He saw that rundown and made sure to take that extra 90 feet so he could be in a position where if Cerny hit a fly ball, he could come across to score. So even in a botched play by the Woodpeckers, they're still going to come away with runs in the inning.
Now it's Justin Williams, and the first pitch misses low to the right-handed hitting first baseman. The 1-0 pitch is below the zone again. 2-0. 1-for-2 today. Williams singled back in the first inning. Struck out looking against Rodriguez his last time. One of six strikeouts for the Carolina starting pitcher. A foul back into the screen. There was activity in the first inning for the Mudcats when Rodriguez was on the ropes with all those pitches. And now there's activity again here in the fifth. A right-hander is loosening. But Rodriguez needs just one more out to complete five. Williams sends a chopper out to shortstop. A redemption chance for Garcia. He fields at the belt, and with a low throw to first, retires Williams and ends the fifth inning. So the Woodpeckers could have had a couple of runs. They do score one on the double and the sack fly, and they carry a 3-0 lead halfway through this one as we go to the bottom of the fifth. Carlos Calderon trying to go five like his counterpart tonight, Carlos Rodriguez. His first pitch at the bottom of the fifth is called to strike on the outside corner to Gene Carmona, left-handed hitting third baseman. He's 0-for-1, grounded out to Justin Williams over at first base, ending a 1-2-3 second for Calderon. The pitch is down and inside, almost got the foot of Corey Gerber again.
Gotta give a lot of credit, though, to Rodriguez to battle and be able to get five innings based on how the first four batters of the ballgame went.
A pause, the leg kick, throw home, and a foul ball is spoiled left side and out of play. 2-1 count on Carmona. Shadows are starting to consume the infield grass. Some streaky sunlight moving across third and shortstop, but most of the right side of the infield shaded as well. Center field and right, Cerny and Espinoza still receiving some sunlight, but Rivas is mostly covered now. Stadium lights are on, but sunlight still illuminating the diamond as Calderon takes a long pause on this delivery and throws the 1-2 as the scoreboard flipped the count. It was a 2-1. Now it has it at 2-2. We'll wait for Gerber to confirm it there. The right-hander that's warming up in the Carolina bullpen, that is Brandon Jordan, who pitched in the opener on Tuesday and may be slated to come on at the top of the sixth. Two-strike pitch and a foul tip held on to by Guillamo. And Gene Carmona, frustrated, slammed the bat down. Carlos Calderon starts the fifth inning with his fourth strikeout of the night and now faces Jesus Chirinos.
Obviously still two more outs to get in the inning, but with the pitch count where it is and where we're at in the season, you have to wonder if Calderon might be able to go further than that five-inning threshold that he's been stopped at throughout the season for the first time.
Pitch down and away. Slider to Chirinos. A lot of fans are still trying to find ways to stay cool. Warm night. Water bottles, sodas, beers, and hand fans is what you notice more than anything. Looks like they might have been giving away some of those little hand fans. All the fans are trying to cool themselves off. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Chirinos, and he backs away from the plate. A slider missed very far inside. 3-0.
Andrew and I are from a couple of warm summer areas. Andrew from California, me from Western New England, but nothing compares to the Carolina summers, I'll tell you that much.
Sticky is the best way I can describe it, as a fastball clips the outside corner. I don't know about you, but in elementary school, when you would try and fan yourself off like that with your hand, I don't know if you had a teacher that would always say, don't do that, it actually makes you warmer, doing the physical activity of fanning yourself off. I never bought into that.
Yeah. The logic's there, though. It does make sense.
If it cools me off in the moment, I'm all about it. What you should bring, though, is that the little portable mister.
Oh, yeah.
You fill it up with a little water, and then you mist yourself off during the game.
Battery-powered fan on the end of it,
battery-powered fan. Yep. Yeah, that's the way to do it. 3-2 count on Chirinos. Here's the pitch. It is just a little low. Tough take on the full count, but Chirinos will draw ball four as a result as the third walk by Calderon. He didn't walk anybody his first time through the order, but has given up a walk in the third, the fourth, and now the fifth. The three walks, the four strikeouts for Calderon. One away, man on first, and the infield will stay in the shift it was a moment ago against right-hander Jesus Garcia. Ramirez is towards the middle, big hole on the right side. Left side, Whitaker and Hallmark straight up at their positions. And Garcia waves through an outside slider for strike one. Calderon set at the belt, short leg kick pitch. High fastball. And the count to 1-1. Garcia popped one out to Hallmark at third in the third inning and made it on base. Hallmark's throw pulled Williams off the bag, and he was able to make it on. The Carolina League today, there was a daytime ball game. I don't think they were shooting off fireworks in Lynchburg since they started play at 4 o'clock. And the Hillcats beat the Salem Red Sox 6-2 in that series finale. A swing and a pop fly left side of the infield. It is Jackson Hallmark looking into the twilight, and he reaches out to his left side, brings it in at the shoulders, and that's out number two. Lazy pop-up keeps Chirinos over at first. At the top of the order now with Kendry Mendez. The Woodpeckers lead 3-0. A sack fly from Logan Cerny, played at Leo Sandy Molina in the fifth, added to the 2-0 lead. Leo Sandy Molina has contributed to all three runs today. The two-run home run in the first, reached on a double in the fifth, and scored on the sack fly. Big day for him. And the first pitch hacked on by Mendez, and he shot it foul over towards his own dugout for strike one. They also played baseball today between the Frednats and the Delmarva Shorebirds, and Delmarva thumped to make it Fredericksburg, thumped Delmarva 10-2.
Yeah, Frednats 7-1 now with a run differential of plus 35 on the second half already.
Frednats hit four home runs in that game. Leandro Emiliani hit in his 10th of the season. Here's a hopper that gets just to the right of the foul line up along first. And that'll keep it at a no ball and two strike count on Jesus Garcia.
It was a fun week for the Frednats. Had a walk-off as well. Really taking advantage of a scuffling Shorebirds team.
They go to 8-1 in their first 9 second half games atop the North Division. Another 0-2 is up and outside. Not a bad idea from Calderon. Tried to get Mendez to reach outside of the zone. Mendez has flied out to right and struck out swinging. Here's the throw, and it's down and away. Two balls and two strikes. You have Kannapolis and Down East out at Granger Stadium today. And Kannapolis leads that series conclusion 4-0. Calderon eyes in the target, set by Guillamo. He stations outside the plate. The pitch is pinpoint, strike three. And Calderon hit his spot perfect with a fastball on the outside corner to the lefty Mendez. And Calderon threw 5 innings. He finishes it with his 5th strikeout and carries a 3-0 lead into the 6th when we return on the home of the Woodpeckers, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. Top 6 in Zebulon, and the Woodpeckers out to a 3-0 lead. Tyler Whitaker leans out of the way of the pitch. It misses up and inside from new right-hander Brandon Jordan. He takes over for the Mudcats after 5 innings from the starter Carlos Rodriguez. Here's the 1-0. Whitaker fouls it straight back. 1-1 count. Whitaker in his return to the lineup today after taking the pitch in the elbow on Friday night is 0-2. A ground out to third and also a fly out to center field. Infield plays him straight up, the 1-1. High breaking ball, and that was a helmet level on Whitaker. Anything up and in on Whitaker, going to get him feeling a little uneasy, at least for the next couple of days before you get more comfortable.
Really had that left arm wrapped up big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big kind of athletic bandage, and now he has that Evo Shield guard covering that elbow when he steps to the plate. I don't know if he was wearing it the night he got hit or if that's something new he's just started to put on for protection. If he didn't before, now he probably will. And that explains that play, explains why so many of those players are now wearing the knee guards or the shin guards, the elbow guards. Some are wearing hand guards. Here's the 2-2 on the way. And it is called strike three on the outside corner. A fastball spotted by Brandon Jordan. And that's how his night begins. It'll bring up left-handed bat Rainier Rivas.
It's a good spot there from Jordan, keeping it away from Whitaker. Came in with a couple of fastballs, kind of set him up, opened up that outside part of the plate, and froze him on the corner.
Rainier Rivas is ready. The first pitch his way is hit foul off of Corey Gerber, and it got the umpire flush again. He's really been taking a beating behind the plate today. Brandon Jordan is a former ninth-round pick by the Brewers last year in the 2021 MLB draft out of the University of South Carolina. The look in, the wind, and offering is a changeup a little too far outside. And it's 1-1 on Rivas, who has struck out swinging and flied out to right. And two at-bats against Carlos Rodriguez, the starter, the 1-1. And on that outside corner, and that's called a strike. Brandon Jordan able to make the adjustment. Stands 6-2 out there on the mound. He's 23 years old, but will soon be 24 on July 20th. The 1-2, Rivas hits it off the end of the bat and cues it foul towards the third base side.
2021 was good for the Gamecocks, especially their pitching staff. He was one of four South Carolina products to be taken in last year's draft.
The 1-2 again. Misses high to Rivas. That was about just below the letters, and it's 2-2. 3-1 record for Brandon Jordan this year, 4.34 ERA. This is his 17th game and 12th in relief. He's made five starts. The pitch down and in. Three balls, two strikes. Rivas has worked it back to full. Woodpeckers have drawn a total of three walks today. All of them came in the first inning. 3-2 pitch. Foul tip, and Garcia squeezes it behind the plate to complete the strikeout. Rivas goes to 0-3, strikes out for the second time. And it really is impressive how Carlos Rodriguez, over his five innings today, Colin, was able to find the location after a turbulent first where he walked three batters, figured something out during that intermission when he was in the dugout because he struck out three in a row in the second inning, didn't walk a guy the rest of the way. And Brandon Jordan looking strong out of the bullpen tonight, delivers strike one to Jackson Hallmark on the high outside corner. He takes for an 0-1 count. A 45, make it 46 and a third now for Brandon Jordan total innings pitched. He's given up 22 earned runs, only been hit for three home runs, 32 walks, and now 56 strikeouts in the 2022 season. Infield straight up against Hallmark, the 1-1 delivery. Is a slider that weaves to the outside corner. Knee level on Hallmark, good pitch.
This is the bounce back Jordan's looking for. It's been a pretty ugly last five appearances. ERA coming into tonight over his last five at 7.88.
1-2, short of the plate. That was about a 50-foot pitch. It was way out in front of home, a slider, and the release point was not where it needed to be for Brandon Jordan on that specific offering. Last time out, Jordan was tagged for three earned runs and five hits by the Woodpeckers. That was on Tuesday in the opener. Hallmark stays off a very high fastball. Three balls, two strikes, two away, and the bases are empty. The Woodpeckers lead 3-0 in the top of the sixth inning. Brandon Jordan nods the head, gets the sign from Garcia, motions to the plate, and Hallmark swings, pops it up on the infield. Right side for Chirinos and Robbie. It is Chirinos, the first baseman, drifting towards the bag, squeezing with two hands, and that ends a 1-2-3 sixth for Jordan out of the bullpen. So So Carolina is still looking for something tonight. They have no runs and just one hit as an offense against Carlos Calderon. And he is going back out to the mound, pitching into the sixth inning for the first time this year. We'll talk about all of that more next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Happy second birthday to... Your tickets, call 919-269-2287, from the CarolinaCubs.com.
Carlos Calderon is back on the mound, and the first pitch of the sixth inning is hit a mile out to left, and Jefferson Carroll leaves the building on the very first pitch thrown by Carlos Calderon in this sixth inning. It puts Carolina on the board. 3-1 is the score, and Carroll left little doubt behind that one.
Chappie, we wondered going into this inning how Calderon would look. First time he's made it to the sixth inning in a start this season. Just left that one well over the plate. Caro drove it and knew it instantly. Maybe that's the spark that Carolina needed to start getting back into this ball game. And the question is, how does Calderon respond?
There's Jackson Chorio, line out to center and a ground out to second base, and he hacks the first one, fouled it back into the screen. This sixth inning of work will likely be short-lived for Calderon. That was his 75th pitch. And so far this year, we've hardly ever seen a pitcher go over 80 pitches in an outing. Calderon has the most innings of any Fayetteville arm this year, so he is the guy that they could stretch a little further than 80, but that bullpen is warming. A right-hander is loosening. It looks to be Fabricio, or no, that's Casey Ford out there in the pen. This could be the last batter that Calderon faces, but he's trying to get an out and officially make it the longest appearance of his 2022 season. And he misses up and outside to Chorio with a fastball. It is 1-2. 95, though, flashes on that right center field radar gun. So good to see the velocity still there for Carlos at this stage in his night. The Curo home run was his sixth of the year, and he drives in his 32nd RBI. Foul ball looped down the first base side and into the seats. Stays at one ball and two strikes. Chorio, Hedberg, Perez, heart of the order that Calderon's getting into right now the third time through. He'll try it again. Another pause and 1-2 pitch on the way. Line drive hit down the right field line, but that will slice into the empty bleacher seats. A couple of hard hit foul balls by Chorio here. His timing's right. He just hasn't been able to put one into the field of play.
Finding a soft hit contact from Jackson Chorio is like finding a four-leaf clover. You don't see it too often.
Yeah. Yuri Ramirez is playing up the middle over from second, and a pitch is down and away. Guillamo has to slide to his right to keep it in front of him. Count goes to 2-2. A change in the wind just over the last inning or so. It is really gusting in from straight on center field. So this is already a tough ballpark to hit in. High walls in center, but good luck right now. It's turned into a pitcher-friendly park for the moment. A break-even 2-2 pitch to Chorio is fouled straight back over the netting and towards the press box to stay 2-2. This is not the type of at-bat that Joe Thon and John Kovalik were hoping that Calderon would get into during the late stages of his outing. He's going to throw his eighth pitch now to Chorio. The delivery. He reaches down low, pops it up over towards the first base dugout. Guillamo sheds the mask, runs all the way to the on-deck circle, but that ball lands in the upper level.
Yeah, this would be a good at-bat at least to bookmark this outing for Calderon going up against the top hitter in Chorio, coming off of giving up that home run. Good way to end on a high note if he's able to win this battle, but if not, I think no matter what, this is going to be it for him now that he's in the 80s as far as pitch count goes.
Calderon locks the target. It's set up and in. Here it comes, a 2-2, and that one is hit on a line. Deep out on the left, Rivas chasing, and it bangs off the top of the wall. He plays the carom, throws to second, and Chorio in with a standing double. On the ninth pitch of the at-bat, he rips one, and it's back-to-back base hits, extra base hits at that. And Calderon has been hit hard in this sixth inning, and that'll do it for him tonight. Vincent Blue is walking out of the dugout. He is playing the acting role of manager today. Joe Thon handing the responsibility to Vince today. And he'll take that baseball from Calderon, unable to get it out in the sixth. All of those will be the responsibility of Casey Ford coming on out of the pen. So Calderon pitches into the sixth for the first time this year, does not record an out. Departs with a man on second. The tying run coming to the plate in a 3-1 ball game when we return. Some numbers on Casey Ford. On second with nobody out in the bottom of the sixth inning, and Casey Ford inheriting this 3-1 ball game. He faces lefty Hedbert Perez, and his first pitch is a backdoor slider called strike one on the lefty, 0-1. Carlos Calderon tried to record it out in the sixth inning and make it his longest start of 2022, but he gave up a solo home run to Kiro and a double to Chorio, and night done for Carlos. Here's the pitch to Perez, and the 0-1 is popped up left of our broadcast position. 0-2 count, and Ford quickly gets ahead. Casey with a 2-1 record and a 6.38 ERA. He's pitching out of the bullpen for the 12th time this year. All appearances have been in relief. 18 and a third total innings. He's walked 12, K'd 27. He really has been picking up the strikeouts this year as the fastball misses outside, and it's 1-2. Given up to two home runs and the 13 earned runs over 18 and a third, and also pitched once in a coverage spot up in High A Asheville back in June. At the shoulders, the 6'5" righty throws and spikes a breaking ball in front of the plate. Good block by Guillamo to keep Chorio at his station at second.
And for Calderon, ended up going through the first five innings, allowing just one hit. Only faced two batters in the sixth, and both of them got extra base hits off of him.
And what Calderon was able to do today is prevent the walks from hurting him. Ford will try a 2-2, look to second. Here it comes. High fastball. Three balls and two strikes. Calderon walked a batter in the third, fourth, and fifth. He had base runners in four of five innings and worked around all of them. In total, he was able to leave four runners on. And it was not until the home run in the sixth that he gave up that one run. Worst he could give up today is two earned with the man on second base. But now a walk as the pitch misses into Perez. He draws his second walk of the game. Fourth given up by Fayetteville pitching in total.
Calderon also had to work around some errors as well in the field. So he really did all he could out there. At the very least, he departs the game not being able to get a loss in this situation, responsible for the runner on second. But that tying run is Ford's now at first base.
Now Eduardo Garcia, the right-handed hitter, is ready. And the first pitch is down to the dirt, and it pops behind Guillamo. He's able to jump on it before it gets to the backstop, but both runners advance. Jackson Chorio goes to third. And Hedbert Perez is now on second. Tying run in scoring position. Go-ahead run at the plate in Garcia.
Yeah, that's not what you want to see, of course. Infield coming in now for Fayetteville, but man, not surprised to see Carolina turn things on a dime. They're just so potent offensively. They can snap just like that.
Base hit, and we have a new ball game with the speed on base. Chorio and Perez, they'll easily score with anything to the outfield. Garcia takes low, and he's ahead two balls and no strikes. Casey Ford trying to lock it in. Target set, up and in. The pitch is a little bit in, but low. Guillamo held it there for a moment, allowed Corey Gerber to inspect it, but ball three. Ford was on the mound last against Augusta. This is his first time pitching in Zebulon this week. 3-0 incoming, down and outside, a four-pitch walk.
You mentioned how Calderon was able to pitch around these walks. He kind of limited them to one per inning. Ford comes in, walks first two batters he faces. I mean, all the energy now in favor of the Mudcats. They're down two runs still, but with bases loaded and nobody out, it feels like it's a tie ball game already.
So John Kubalik is going out to the mound. He wants to have a conversation with Casey Ford and try and calm him down in this bases loaded spot. The go-ahead run is on base. Ford has walked consecutive hitters since coming out of the bullpen, and Zach Robbie, who's had a couple of big RBI hits this week, is the batter scheduled. Big news out of Major League Baseball today, where former Woodpecker Jeremy Pena hit his second walk-off home run of the season. And just like his first, he hit it to dead center. Hit it today to beat the Angels 4-2 in Houston. First pitch to Zach Robbie is a fastball placed on the outside corner, 96, and it's strike one.
It's also the second home run of the ball game. So
yeah.
He's certainly reviving that Rookie of the Year campaign, even though he missed some time due to a hand inflammation issue.
Corner infielders play in. Middle infield is back for the Woodpeckers, and the 0-1 is a little outside, maybe low as well. And Robbie evens it up at one ball and one strike. Zach Robbie has not been on base today. A strikeout against Calderon in the second, and then he flied out to right in the fourth. Still nobody out. The base is loaded, and the Woodpeckers leading 3-1. Here comes Ford, and he misses outside with a slider. The count is 2-1 on Zach Robbie.
It's funny because that game for Pena kind of overshadowed the great pitching performance that the Astros got once again out of one of their arms.
Framber Valdez. I know he had at least 12 strikeouts. I don't know if he had more than that. 2-1. Down to the dirt. And Casey Ford is falling behind again. Three balls and one strike. Final K count on Valdez, 13 over six innings. He even walked five, but got 13 of 18 outs with a strikeout. Ford needs to throw a strike here, otherwise it's a one-run game. The 3-1 pitch is hit on a line right field. That slices foul into the bleachers. And thank goodness it did, otherwise Carolina would have tied this game and maybe even more. Robbie is a good opposite field hitter. So the new right fielder, Rolando Espinoza, has to be ready out there. Bulk of Robbie's hits this week have gone to right. And a 3-2 payoff pitch from Ford. It is a swing and a miss, strike three. Got him. A huge out for Casey. And now a double play could get him out of this inning. Had to throw a strike, and he did. Robbie goes to 0 for 3, K's for a second time. And Gene Carmona is the lefty stepping in.
It's the thing with Ford, he likes to pitch himself into these situations, but there's not many better that can get himself out like Casey Ford can.
Dancing down that third baseline is Chorio. Nobody holding him on. Wraparound slider is in the zone to the lefty, 0-1. Chorio at third, Perez at second, Garcia at first, the double and two walks. Loading him up. Ford at the shoulders, delivers his 0-1, and misses down and in with a breaking ball. Guillamo has done an exceptional job in the last couple of sequences of keeping balls in front of him down the dirt.
That's really important with this backstop. It is a deep one at Five County Stadium. Anything that gets by you, really tough to recover from it.
It's Calderon's runner at third, Ford's runners at second and first. And now he fires his 1-1. And a pop fly, foul territory, third base side. Hallmark is sprinting over, gets to the extended warning track, but runs out of room. And the ball falls into the first row of the upper deck. It's a souvenir. And a 1-2 count on Carmona. Casey Ford has allowed at least one earned run in each of his last two Fayetteville outings. Three if you count the two he gave up in Asheville on June 17th. But we'll discount that one. The 1-2 incoming is hit deep out into center field. Cerny is back on it. This should score one run. He makes the catch and comes up throwing to third. It's a one-hopper. Hallmark the tag, and they got him sliding in. Did the runner score at the plate? Yes, he did. One run scores. Chorio crossed the plate before Perez was tagged out at third, but a very heads-up play from Logan Cerny to go to third and get the final out of the inning. As the Woodpeckers get two, but it's a one-run game. 3-2 the score as we head towards the seventh inning on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
We are Delaware. We make great Delaware Greeks. It's in our genes.
Today's Delaware. Catcher Freddie Guillamo
Well, we officially have a ball game on our hands. 3-2 Fayetteville lead as we go to the top of the seventh inning. Freddie Guillamo leads it off and hacks the first pitch foul back of home for strike one. Two-run Carolina's sixth, one-run ball game in the seventh, and back on the play-by-play, let's send it to Colin.
Thank you, Andrew. Brandon Jordan back on the mound for his second inning of work. Misses high with a fastball to Guillamo to move the count 1-1. Freddie 1-for-2. With a fly out in the first and a single in the fourth. And he hits this one hard on the ground towards short, backhanded by Garcia. Throws across to Chirinos in time for the first out of the inning. Saw earlier a little bit of trouble at short from Garcia. Made an error in the fifth inning. That base runner was Yuri Ramirez. He did not come across to score, but indirectly ended up leading to a sacrifice fly for Logan Cerny later in the inning, and that run currently proving to be the difference. Check swing from Rolando Espinoza. He peeled down and he held up 1-0. Espinoza still looking to put the ball in play for the first time with Fayetteville. Breaking ball misses up and in. He's been with the Astros organization for quite some time, signed as an international free agent back in August of 2017. Finally getting his first opportunity in full season ball. 2-0 is on the outside corner. Hoping to make it stick with the Woodpeckers. 2-1, that one is put in play. Shallow right field, long run to second baseman. Robbie slides, and he makes the catch. Zach Robbie had to run diagonally towards the stands down the right field line and made a sliding catch into foul territory for an exciting second out of the inning.
Yeah, and he went from the grass onto that rocky gravel of a warning track. You and I were inspecting that pregame, Colin, and it's not soft dirt. Those are sharp pebbles that he slid onto to sacrifice the body but make the catch, get the out.
Back to the top of the order, Yaris Ramirez to the plate for the fourth time. Jordan starts him off with a low 90s fastball at the knees, strike one. Yaris walked to lead off the ball game in the first before coming around to score. He has since struck out and reached on an error. And here he slices this one foul off to the right off the sky lounge and back down into the seats. No balls, two strikes, two outs. The pitch, fastball just off the outside part of the plate. Harris two nights ago had a two-run shot in this seventh inning. Cut the lead to 5-2, but that's as close as Fayetteville would get that night. 1-2 misses upstairs. Jordan will try once again to get a punch out. Had two last inning. Pitch is fouled off to the right again. Ramirez really making Jordan earn his second consecutive 1-2-3 inning. Middle infield playing with their heels on the grass. Garcia at short and Robbie at second. Both involved in the two outs so far in the inning. And the count is now full. Carolina trying to improve their home record on the season to 24-15 with a victory tonight if they can come from behind and pull it off as that ball is fouled straight into Fayetteville dugout. Didn't look like it made contact with anybody down there. Payoff pitch, and Ramirez fouls off another one. Still a lot of baseball left to be played between these two teams the rest of the way. Two more six-game sets. One here and one in Fayetteville left on the schedule. Another 3-2, and Ramirez lines this ball into center field for a two-out single. So a lengthy at-bat, and Ramirez wins the battle. goes ahead and pulls the bow back, fires it towards the dugout in celebration. And Fayetteville trying to make some noise, up one with two outs at the top of the seventh.
Ramirez hasn't had the season that I'm sure he would like to have compared to last year when he was hitting around 250 with Fayetteville before his hand injury. But you try and take it series by series, and Ramirez has put some good swings on the ball this week, driven in a couple of runs, is homered, and he needed every base hit right now, and the series conclusion, and Ramirez comes up with a big swing.
He does his job by bringing up the hottest hitter in the Woodpeckers lineup tonight, Leo's Danny Molina, who's 2-for-3 with a two-run home run and a double and a run scored coming in the fifth. One ball, no strikes the count. Breaking ball from Jordan just outside. Ramirez takes his lead off first. The 2-0. And a get-me-over fastball from Jordan. Wind whipping around. Flags moving about as strong as we've seen throughout the weekend out in center field. The 2-1. Fouled straight back by Molina. Sun continuing to set here. Approaching the two-hour mark in this ball game. And with the cloud cover, that'll probably accelerate things, and I'm sure that'll be a welcome sight for the fans sticking around for the fireworks after this game. And a lot of them set off throughout this 4th of July weekend as Molina hits this ball out towards right field. Mendez in front of the wall makes the catch, and that will retire the side. So a two-out single for Yeris Ramirez proves to be of little value. We head to the stretch. 3-2 lead for Fayetteville on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm not the type to work in a bank. I'm no good slapping on paint. Don't have a knack for making motors crank, no, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. So hand me one more, that's what I'm here for. I'm built for having a ball. I love the nightlife, I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. I ain't much on mowing thick grass. I'm too slow for working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer. A go-getter. Maybe I'm not. I'm not known for doing a lot. But I do my best work when the weather's hot, hot. I'm pretty good at drinking beer. So hand me one more, that's what I'm here for. I'm built for having a ball. I love the nightlife, I love my Bud Light. Born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Carolina. Carolina, and man, did we luck out weather-wise. A lot of rain in the forecast throughout the day, but not a drop has landed so far as we come to the final two-plus innings of this one. We are still dry in the series finale between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Carolina Mudcats. Casey Ford out for his second inning of work. Starts off with a fastball down low. He came on in the middle of the sixth inning after Carlos Calderon surrendered a home run and a double in his first two batters faced. Ford then gave up a pair of walks, but got three crucial outs to maintain the lead for Fayetteville. But now a new challenge afoot. Jesus Chirinos, the 1-1 count. 8-9-1 hitters due up for Carolina. A pitch. Breaking ball. Outside corner. Called for strike two. Ford. He's able to complete the rest of this ball game. Would be eligible for a save. As that ball is stung out towards left field. Rivas back in front of the wall, and he'll make the catch on the warning track. Jesus Chirinos missed that one by a good 5 feet, and it remains a Woodpeckers lead, at least one out further, one down.
Yeah, with the big LED video board out there in left center field, Colin, it kind of disguised that baseball coming down, so Rivas didn't exactly tell you whether it was going to be over the wall or he was going to make the catch until the last minute. Casey Ford catches a break. Wind's blowing in quite a bit, and that might have been just enough to knock it down.
Yeah, I think you're right. It really has been starting to come in towards us. And you wonder if that slowed that ball down a little bit. Jesus Garcia with an 0-1 count. Reached on an error and popped out so far tonight. And it's a broken bat. Chopper up the middle. Bare hand by Whitaker, but he can't get the throw off. And into first base safely is Garcia. It was just out of the reach of the pitcher, Ford. Whitaker was charging hard. It was an all-or-nothing play for him, and he just couldn't get a grip on the baseball. And the tying run is on first base for Carolina.
Yeah, he tried to do that twirling behind-the-back grab. Might have had time to shuffle to his right and try and knock that ball down. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of that play. I think Steven Cruz successfully brought one in doing that the other night, but it's a rarity to see a pitcher field it on that. And then once he got past the mound, just too shallow for Tyler Whitaker or any of the infielders to make a play on.
So it's an infield single. And the fourth hit of the ball game for Carolina. Top of the order up, Henry Mendez takes ball one down and away. Mendez 4-for-4 yesterday, but 0-for-3 with a pair of strikeouts tonight. Great opportunity, however, to break through with a big hit. The 1-0, chopped foul off to the right.
Foul ball brought to you by Auto Buyers Smithfield.
Woodpeckers trying to lock down their 34th victory of the season. 17th away from home. Ground ball towards second. Ramirez to Whitaker for one. Return throw is not in time. Mendez just able to leg it out to force the fielder's choice. So Garcia is out at second for out number two. And Ford, one step closer to making it through a scoreless seventh inning.
The ball was just a little bit too far towards the first base side of the infield, and Ramirez had a long throw down to second base after he fielded the ball, and that was the difference in Mendez making it safe down at first.
First pitch to Jefferson Quero. Called a strike. Quero had a big swing in his last at-bat against Calderon. First pitch of the bottom of the sixth inning. Sent it over everything and left to cut the lead at the time down to two. Runner on the move, swung on and missed. But Mendez will be in the second standing as the ball popped out of Freddy Guillamo's mitt. So it's an 0-2 count with two away in the inning, but Carolina does have the tying run in scoring position. Ford gets his sign, comes set. The 0-2. Fastball just below the belt, dips below the knees. Still good life on that fastball from Ford, 96 miles an hour. Had trouble locating it at the start of his outing, but has started to attack the zone a lot better. The pitch jams Caro. He fouls it straight back. Wynn would go to Calderon. The Woodpeckers are able to hold on with the loss going to Carlos Rodriguez, the starter for the Mudcats. Runner on second, two down, a 1-2 count in the bottom of the seventh, 3-2 Fayetteville. Ford fires and fouled off again. Let's go Mudcats chant breaking out here in Zebulon.
Saw a couple of Woodpeckers uniforms, though, throughout the ballpark. So there's a couple of Woodpeckers faithful trying to balance it out.
Shorter road trips of the year for Fayetteville. Just up the road, about an hour and 20 minutes. Time is called. So back in the box goes Caro. He's reached base all three times tonight. Look at second, and Ford comes home. And another foul ball. Caro turning this into a marathon of an at-bat. Number three prospect in the Milwaukee Brewers system, I should say, Jackson Chorio waits on deck. Ford with another 1-2. And another foul ball straight back. Caro not getting much of those fastballs, but just enough to extend the at-bat. One pitch by one pitch. Decent leadoff second for Mendez. Ran earlier in the plate appearance. The 1-2. Swung on and missed, strike three. Ford with the off-speed high. Catches Caro by surprise. He waves and misses, and the inning is over. So Carolina strands the tying run at second base in the seventh. We go to the eighth. Fayetteville 3, the Mudcats 2 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Walking down the road. Tell me how long you gonna stay here, Joe. Some people say this town don't look good in snow. You don't care, I know. Venture Highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know. Cause a free wind is blowing through your hair, and the days surround your daylight. Seasons crying, no despair. Alligator lizards in the air. In the air.
Part of the lineup for Fayetteville to begin the eighth. Logan Cerny ducks out of the way of a fastball in tight from Brandon Jordan to begin the inning. And to take us through the conclusion from Zebulon in the series finale, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, Fayetteville not feeling great about how things have gone the last few nights here in Zebulon, Colin, but they're hoping to at least escape this part of the state with a win tonight. Take 2 of 6 on the road as Cerny takes a hack and loops it foul over the first base netting. And goes to a 1-2 count. Cerny, Williams, Whitaker, Logan Cerny with a sack fly back in the fifth. That has been the all-important third run right now, supporting the 3-2 Fayetteville lead. He steps out of the right side and will reset. Still on the mound is Brandon Jordan, who came on in the sixth and has given up just one base hit. That's the only base runner against him. This is very far outside and low with a slider. Michele Vassalotti has started to warm in the Carolina Mudcats bullpen, and he has just been all over this week as the 2-2 comes home, and Cerny hits a sharp grounder out towards shortstop. Garcia down to a knee, collects, throw to first, and Cerny, calling himself safe as he crosses the bag, is indeed safe. He's able to sprint it out, and Victor Estevez, the Carolina Mudcats manager, is coming out of the dugout to argue the call with Nobu Yasuta, the base umpire.
That's a very close play. Got to give a lot of credit to Cerny for making it as close as it was on a hard hit grounder to short. And it's bang-bang play, could have gone either way, and obviously Estevez not happy that his team is on the bad side of it, giving a couple parting words to Yasuta. He walks back towards the third base dugout.
Well, that really speaks to the sprint speed of Logan Cerny. It was a very hard hit ball, so it got to Garcia quick. And he has one of the strongest throwing arms of any shortstop in our league, and he still wasn't able to get Cerny. It was a very close play. I'll give Victor Estevez at least that. He wants to go and make an argument for his shortstop. And now Cerny is on, and will he try and go? Here comes the pitch. And it is a knee-level fastball to Justin Williams. Keep in mind that Cerny is tied with Ronaldo Urdaneta of the 2021 Woodpeckers for the most stolen bases in a single season in franchise history. Needs just one more to set the new single season high as the 1-0 comes in. And it's a fastball in the outside corner to Williams, 1-1.
It's a good situation for him to run on. Only one on base, nobody out. Chance to put an insurance run in scoring position.
And Kiro's not the catcher today. He's the DH. He's got the strongest throwing arm of all the catchers. Cerny takes the secondary, doesn't go, and a fly ball is hoisted into shallow center. Chorio racing forward, calling off his middle infielders and making the catch. Well, Chorio wasn't hustling in hard the entire way. He had to pick up the sprint speed last minute once his middle infield bailed out. And that ball really died in the wind as well, which is still coming hard in towards center. And Chorio able to recover, make the first out. And Logan Cerny still holding it first. We'll see with one out now on the board if Cerny wants to get more aggressive and try and get to second. Eliminate the chance of the conventional double play as Tyler Whitaker climbs into the right side. Brandon Jordan set at the waist, throws, and a fastball misses at 92 up above the zone. 1-0 is the count. Fayetteville up 6 to make it 3-2, out hitting Carolina 6-4. And the pitch, Cerny is on the move to second. It's a fastball, called strike, throw down, tag applied, and they got Cerny sliding in. Robbie tagged Cerny on the right shin. A good break, but an even better throw by Garcia. And Cerny thrown out to put two out in the eighth. And the Woodpeckers can't buy a stolen base right now. They were 1-for-3 yesterday, but 0-for-1 tonight. And Carolina catching has been winning that battle the last 48 hours. Tyler Whitaker looks at a fastball down and outside and gets ahead 2-1.
It's almost like Victor Estevez just has an assembly line of great defensive catchers. He's been kind of printing these guys off of. I mean, just so many perfect throws we've seen throughout this series by Carolina.
Whitaker fouls it back. So if Logan Cerny wants a little piece of Woodpecker's stolen base history, might have to wait to do it at home next week at Segra Stadium against the Down East Wood Ducks. Fall short of number 24 on the year. 2-2 pitch is short of the plate. It was a slider from Brandon Jordan. 3-2 count now on Tyler Whitaker. Rainier Rivas is the lefty on deck if the inning goes any further. Brandon Jordan eyes in, begins the motion, delivers, and strikes out Whitaker looking with an up-and-in fastball. Whitaker arguing as he walks away from the plate. He didn't like that call. He thought it was too high. And that ends the inning. Brandon Jordan faces the minimum despite the leadoff single thanks to his catcher, Garcia. And we remain 3-2 going to the bottom of the eighth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Kids come out of the first base gate. Parents can pick up at the third base gate. The Bucats are proud to once again host Heroes Week in the Park County Stadium this summer. On Friday, August 5th, Saturday, August 6th, and Sunday, August 7th. On Friday, it'll be First Responders Night. Saturday, August 6th, it's Military Appreciation. And on Sunday, August 7th, it goes out week with Frontline Workers Day. We want to give thanks to our heroes this weekend. For more information, you want to purchase your discounted ticket.
Baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
This is a bit of a Jackson trivia.
Casey Ford is back on the mound for the Woodpeckers playing the bottom of the eighth inning. It's 3-2 Fayetteville. Ford delivers, first pitch, hit right up the chute into center field by Jackson Chorio. He barrels a line drive single, his second hit of the game. And instantly, Carolina gets the tie and run on the first pitch of the eighth inning.
I hope the fans in attendance tonight are enjoying what they're seeing from Jackson Chorio, because if he keeps swinging the bat the way he has throughout the series and obviously throughout the entire season, he's not going to be in Zebulon for very much longer.
Yeah, a lot of Chorio's success has been backloaded this week. He's on the move to second base. Here comes the pitch. It's a low fastball. Anguilamo's throw is not in time. It was accurate, but Chorio had a great jump. And he makes it on, and that does make you question, Colin. The Woodpeckers pitchers really do not throw over to first a lot. They don't exhaust those two step-offs that they have per at-bat. That might be an organizational philosophy, just to focus on the batter, focus on throwing strikes, less on base runners. But eighth inning, that's the tying run on first. You got at least maybe check up on him and let him know you're thinking about him.
Definitely can't forget about him, especially not a guy like Chorio.
Here's the 1-1 home, and a check swing on one in the dirt. Guillamo keeps it in front of him, and on the appeal, Nobu Yasuda says that Perez held up, and two balls and one strike to count. Casey Ford came on to the sixth inning behind Carlos Calderon, battled some control issues, walked two consecutive hitters, gave up a sac fly and an inherited runner score, but he got out of the sixth without allowing a run. A scoreless seventh where he didn't walk anybody. And he's trying to avoid giving up a run to his ERA tonight. Here's the 2-1 pitch. And Perez swings and misses at a low fastball. 95 flashes on that radar gun, and it evens up at 2-2. Michele Vassalotti is a onlooker out there in the left field bullpen, but Woodpeckers might expect to see him, the Carolina closer, in the bottom of the eighth. In a 1-1 run game, 2-2. A ground ball hit out towards first. It's collected by Williams. He'll run to first base, stomp on the bag, and down to third. Chorio makes it safe. So productive ground out pushes the tying run 90 feet away.
You nailed it right there, saying productive. I mean, all you ask for is a ball on the right side to allow Chorio to get up there. Obviously, with that being the tying run, Fanfield's going to bring the infield in, but a fly ball is all you're looking for out of Eduardo Garcia.
Eduardo Garcia into the right side. A slight bend in the knees, a slightly open stance. He wiggles that brown bat above his right shoulder, and the first pitch foul tipped off of Guillamo. And forward ahead, 0-1. Infield plays in. Everybody on the grass. Hallmark at third. Whitaker the shortstop. Ramirez the second baseman, and Williams at first. Outfield is normal depth. Carolina shortstop 0-for-2 with a walk. The pitch inside nearly hit him. He has to clutch those hands to his chest and step out of the way. Count to 1-1. Carolina scored both of their runs to cut it to a one-run game in the sixth. The home run and a sac fly. The pitch is high and in. Slider didn't break as much as Ford wanted it to. And Garcia is in front. 2 balls and a strike. It was a 3-0 Fayetteville lead after 5 innings. But their offense has gone cold over the last 3. Infield in. And the 2-1 pitch from Ford. Is hit on a fly out into deep center field, and Cerny is chasing it back, cutting to his left into the alleyway, and he collides with Espinoza, and they drop the ball. Chorio scores from third, and Garcia is into second with a double. A lack of communication, and we have a tie game, 3-3. It looked like Cerny had it in his glove for a moment, and then he was reaching down to pluck it off of the grass. Cerny and Espinoza didn't collide hard. They sort of slowed up into each other, but came together, and the ball split the two of them. I don't know if it was in Cerny's glove or if it was in Espinoza's glove. I think it was Cerny's. But it's an RBI double for Eduardo Garcia. Tie ball game. Go ahead, run in scoring position. Zach Robbie is now into the right side. Here's the pitch, and he fouls it back into the screen.
This has been a brutal defensive series so far, and obviously we're coming to the conclusion for Fayetteville. I mean, that's one of those where you just got to communicate and make sure somebody catches that ball so you don't let the go-ahead run end up in scoring position.
A shrug of the shoulders, and the 0-1 to Robbie. Is hit on a fly, right center field. Espinoza has a beat on it. Cuts it off in the right center field alleyway. Runner going to third. One hopping throw is not in time, and Garcia makes it into third base. Well, both outs in this eighth inning have served Carolina base runners. The ground ball advanced a runner to third, and now the fly ball does so. And Vincent Blue is coming out of the Woodpeckers dugout. He's going to take the baseball from Casey Ford and turn towards the new right-hander. Looks to be Jacob DeLavio to try and get the final out of this eighth inning. 3-3 ball game, man on third. Carolina has scored the last 3 to come back from 3-0. And we'll see if the Fayetteville bullpen can get a tie game to the ninth in a moment. We'll be back in just a sec on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
By Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401. They're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the ones.
Jacob DeLavio takes over with 2 outs in the bottom of the eighth inning. Gene Carmona is the left-handed batter, and the go-ahead run in a 3-3 game is down at third. That's Eduardo Garcia. He was advanced over on a fly ball from Zach Robbie to right field. That ended the night for Casey Ford after two and two-thirds innings. KC Ford gives up, as it stands right now, the one earned run. And that's his man down at third base. Slight shift, the pull side to the lefty for the Woodpeckers infield. Here's the pitch home, and a bouncing ball hit to Williams on two hops. He recedes, pulls it in, underhand flips to DeLavio rushing over, and he gets to first just in time to end the inning. So DeLavio comes in, fields his position well, gets a 3-1 put out, and a tie game heads to the ninth inning when we return. 3-3 the score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Tuesday will be another bark at the park, and allow fans to bring their dogs along with them.
The baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today.
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport, and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Ninth inning and a tie ball game. 3-3. And Miguel Palma, and make it to Rainier Rivas, leads it off for the Woodpeckers against new right-hander Michele Vassalotti, pitching for his third time in this week's series. His first pitch misses in to Rivas, and it's 1-0. Woodpeckers were up 3-0 going into the bottom of the sixth, but Carolina scored a pair, got it to within a run, and then in the eighth inning, RBI double by Eduardo Garcia brings home Jackson Chorio and deadlocks us at 3-3. Here's the 1-0 to Rivas, and he cuts through a changeup. It's a ball and a strike. Vassalotti has a 7-1 record and a 2.23 ERA. He's pitching in his team-high 24th game of the year. He is a workhorse for these Mudcats. Rarely do we see a pitcher in this league pitching three games in a series, and Rivas hits it hard, deep out into center field. It's over the head of Chorio, and it bangs off the base of the fence. Rivas loses the helmet, but he gets into second with a standing double, and that is a huge start to the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers. Rainier Rivas, who's had a home run and a double earlier this week, now has his third extra base hit. And the go-ahead run is on second for Jackson Hallmark. Great swing.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, the hits sometimes are few and far between for Rivas, but when he hits them, he makes them count. Hard contact, dead center field. Chorio immediately knew he had to play this off the wall, and Rivas cruises into second with a double. Go ahead and run in scoring position.
Pitch gets away. It goes to the backstop, and Rainier Rivas is heading to third. Michele Vassalotti put a slider way outside to Hallmark, so far out that Garcia couldn't get to it on a backhand attempt. And Rivas receives the free pass. So now Jackson Hallmark can put the Woodpeckers in front in a variety of ways here. Wild pitch, sack fly. Base hit, of course. He's in a 1-0 count. Here there's the throw and a slider. It gets Hallmark swinging and missing. Strike one, 1-1. Hallmark is bit on with a walk today. That was in the first. Flied out to the right field warning track in the fourth and has popped out to first. The set, the pitch. Hallmark checks his swing and goes too far. Didn't want that slider, but overcommitted. And falls behind 1-2. Woodpeckers hitters have K'd 9 times today and drawn 3 walks, which all came in the first. The pitch. Hallmark is going to be in a 2-2 count. That was a close one. Slider right on the outside corner. Tough one to lay off, but now it even on Hallmark. Crowd didn't like that one either.
That was borderline pitch, but a good take by Hallmark.
hole. Mudcats infield in those white uniforms playing on the fringe of the grass. Here comes the 2-2. And Hallmark chases it way outside. It's in the dirt. Garcia hops on top of it, throws up the first base line, and they get Hallmark. Rivas wisely holds down at third.
Yeah, obviously not the at-bat that Hallmark was looking for. At the very least, he forced a throw down, maybe potentially lead to an error, but it would be almost a backbreaker if Fayetteville was unable to score this run with a runner, go-ahead runner 90 feet away, nobody out. This is one run you got to cash here in a tie ball game.
3-3 tie with one out. Vasilotti faces right-handed hitting catcher Freddie Guillamo, the Fayetteville 8 bat, who singled in the fourth. The pitch. And he's a little early, swinging at a changeup. Count 0-1. Guillamo is also flied out to right and bounced out to short. Fly ball could get the job done here. Going to be need to be deep enough, though, with Rivas. Not the fastest down at third base, the pitch. Slider very far outside and low. Easy take, and it's 1-1. Vasilotti pitched in the opener on Tuesday night. Went a scoreless inning, locked up the save in that extra inning ball game, and also pitched on July 1st as Guillamo reaches out and misses at a breaking ball, and he falls behind a 1-2.
Right now it seems like guys are doing too much in the plate, trying to really swing for the fences without being selective and just trying to put a ball in play. Good chance that you're going to score the run if you just put the ball in play.
The 1-2 pitch. Guillamo strikes out. Breaking ball got him. Back-to-back sliders, and Guillamo went down and outside of the zone to try and touch both of them, but he strikes out, goes to 1-for-4. Two huge strikeouts for Vasilotti, and now he's limited the options for the Woodpeckers' offense. Now they need a base hit, and Rolando Espinoza in his Fayetteville debut coming up with a chance to put the Woodpeckers ahead in the ninth inning. The infield now recedes, and the first one to Espinoza misses inside, and it's 1-0.
Chance of redemption for Espinoza. He was involved in that play that the ball got away out in right center field. Could make up for it with one big swing right here.
He struck out twice and also fouled out to second base. Pitches down and away. It was a nice play made by Zach Robbie against Espinoza in the seventh. It was a pop fly all the way out towards the bullpen, and Robbie made an over-the-shoulder sliding grab on the warning track to bring it in. He's ahead 2-0. Have to be selective here as Vasilotti sets, kicks, and pitches very far outside. Missed his spot significantly with a breaking ball. That one almost got by Garcia, but he had to lunge to his backhand side, almost sprawl out on his belly to pull that ball in, and might have saved a run in the process. You're only swinging if you get a meatball, fastball, top of the zone and middle of the plate. 3-0 incoming, and it's down to the dirt. Poor pitch walk, and Espinoza will head to first and extend the ninth inning for the top of the order. Yuris Ramirez coming up for a fifth time tonight.
That's exactly what the doctor ordered, what we should have seen in the first couple of plate appearances following the double from Rivas. I mean, just being selective up there. We saw the wild pitch immediately after the double, and that should have been the first warning sign from the Woodpeckers offense saying, you know, okay, this guy's having trouble with his command. Make sure he throws you a strike before you start trying to help him out. And I think Espinoza right there understood the assignment, got on base. He's got a lot of speed as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in motion to try to get two runners in scoring position.
Also around the Carolina League tonight, some other games have gone final. The Columbia Fireflies win again. They are 8-1 in the second half, beating the Augusta Green Jackets today 5-4. They come from behind, score two runs in the top of the ninth inning on the road. Geraldo Quintero hit his sixth home run of the year, and Stephen Paulini, a former Braves top 30 prospect, hit his second. Charleston and Myrtle Beach are in a tight one, 6-5 in the bottom of the seventh inning from Myrtle. Mentioned Fredericksburg, they bludgeoned Delmarva today 10-2. Lynchburg beats Salem. And with some rain in the Kinston area coming right now, the Cannonballers have a 4-1 lead going to the bottom of the eighth over the Wood Ducks. Now Yuris Ramirez is in, a meeting on the mound completes, runners on the corners, and he swings at a first pitch slider. It just seems like, Colin, that's the pitch that the Woodpeckers have to kind of learn to lay off of, that first pitch slider. Spot like this where you need to come up with a base hit. Take that one and see if it misses the zone. 0-1. And a ground ball hit to third, but foul just to the left of that stripe. Carmona's guarding the line. He's trying to take away that left side. Yuris Ramirez is a kind of a pull hitter. Carolina doesn't shift a lot. They're playing a middle infield straight up against him. Yuris Ramirez singled into center, back into seventh, put up a good swing on a ball with two strikes. Here's the 0-2, runner on the move to second. Ramirez checks his swing, and he went too far. That's strike three, and the inning is over. The Woodpeckers have a golden opportunity to score, but they leave the man on third, had a man on third with one out, and they strike out three times. And Carolina's coming up at the bottom of the ninth with a 3-3 tie game. We're back in a moment on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. And just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H Home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
Jacob DeLabio gets to work a clean inning, bottom nine, 3-3 tie. And his first pitch is a fastball very low to leadoff man Jesus Chirinos. The Woodpeckers were unable to scratch across the go-ahead run in the ninth. They had Rivas on third with nobody out and struck out three straight times against Michele Vassalotti. Now DeLavio has to try and force extras. His fastball misses down and away to Chirinos. One thing for DeLavio here is that you do have the 8, 9, and 1 hitters who tonight have combined for just one base hit. That's Jesus Garcia, the 9-man. Torino's 205 hitter coming into this plate appearance. The pitch had the take sign, but that's a fastball strike, and it's 1-2. Torino's reached on a walk back in the fifth inning. Infield is shifted. Ramirez towards the middle. Williams off the line at first. 2-1. Down to the dirt. 3-1 the count. Torino's has drawn that walk. The total of five Mudcats have walked tonight. And they've limited the strikeouts to just a 7 in the game. DeLabio eyes in, and the target is set high. Here's the 3-1. And a line drive hit into center field. That'll fall for a base hit. Cerny gets to it quickly. It's a leadoff single for Torino's. Game-winning run is on.
Not right there. Is what you would have liked to see out of the Woodpeckers last inning. Obviously, Rivas had the leadoff double, but just working deep counts and forcing the pitcher to throw you a strike ends up being DeLabio who has to get one over, 3-1 to Chirinos, and he just takes it right up the middle. solid single. And late game situation, looks like Victor Estevez is going to go ahead and use his bench.
Jeremy Vargas is entering as the pitch runner. Victor Estevez going to the plate ump and showing him the lineup card, making the change. Vargas has 7 stolen bases in 11 attempts this year. He's not been a great hitter for the Mudcats. He's a sub-200 hitter, but he's got some speed. And they'll swap out Jesus Chirinos, their first baseman, with Vargas, who is a infielder by trade, middle infielder by trade. Jose Cibrian is the pinch hitter as well, so changes on the running side and the hitting side. Cibrian pinch hitting for Jesus Garcia. Cibrian came on as a pinch hitter on Friday night, taking over at the time for Luis Silva. Same situation, ninth inning at bat, so he's used to this spot. Coming off cold, big chance in the ninth inning. And a fastball strike, looked a little outside, but DeLabio got the call, 1-1.
I like this move, because you got the top of the order coming up after this, so you got to put yourself in a prime position to walk this thing off.
And here's a ground ball hit through the left side, beyond the reach of Whitaker. It's picked up by Rivas, and they will hold Chirinos at second base, make it Vargas the new runner. First two runners on, back-to-back singles against Jacob DeLabio.
Just clutch hitting has been the difference in a lot of these games so far in the series. We've seen all these extra inning affairs that have gone the way of Carolina, and tonight so many opportunities where the Woodpeckers needed that big hit, never got it. Carolina taking matters into their own hands and getting every possible big hit.
Base hit could win it for the Mudcats, and now they have some of their big bats coming up. And Mendez, Kiro, Chorio. It's a dream situation at the moment for the Mudcats. They're now out hitting Fayetteville as well, 8-7. 3-3 tie game. DeLabio comes to the shoulders, throws his 1-0. And a bouncing ball is hit shallow towards first. Williams picks up, throws to second base, gets one. Whitaker pump fakes, throws to third, and a dive back in by Vargas. He avoids the tag. And that was a pretty smartly played defensive situation by the Woodpeckers infield. Williams going to second. Had to throw accurately, otherwise that would have been the ball game. And then Whitaker pump faking towards first, spinning around and going to third. Nearly caught the runner off guard. But game-winning run at third base.
But going to second still gives you an opportunity to turn an inning-ending double play.
Keep that man on first base. Yeah, ground ball. Get him out of this. DeLabio now faces Jefferson Kiro, the DH. And he swings and misses a fastball. That was a massive hack by Kiro. Put everything behind that. He got everything of a baseball in the sixth. A solo home run that led off the inning against Carlos Calderon, his sixth of the year. Runners on the corners, here it comes, fastball strike. Never more important than now that Jacob DeLabio throws stuff in a catchable location for Freddy Guillamo. He gets ahead of Kiro, 0-2. He struck out his last time in the seventh, facing forward. The pitch, down and away, big block by Guillamo. A slider started to spin towards the dirt. Guillamo smothered it.
Anything even 6 feet away from Guillamo is pretty much game over with Vargas at third and that deep backstop behind him.
Hallmark is in towards the grass. Whitaker and Ramirez are pressed back, pinching towards the middle in case the ground ball can turn two. DeLabio in front, 1-2. His leg kick pitch got him swinging. Slider, outside corner, and Jefferson Kiro goes down for a huge second out. Now DeLabio faces Jackson Chorio.
That was a confident at-bat from DeLabio, going through a premier power hitter, getting him to strike out on a pitch out of the zone, but one tall task in front of him that stands in the way between the Woodpeckers and extra innings.
Chorio has reached base on hits in each of his last two appearances, and he takes a high fastball for a 1-0 count. Chorio's hit the ball hard, really three times though, lined out to deep center back in the first inning. And while it was a cold start to his series, this might be his best game at the plate yet. 1-0, down and outside. Hedbert Perez is the man on deck who's grounded out a couple of times and also walked twice. Chorio is the most dangerous hitter in the lineup right now. So if you're DeLabio, you nibble the corners and you don't put anything in a hittable location here. The man on first is not the one that matters.
Right.
You load the bases. All you're worrying about is Vargas down at third base. And DeLabio might be trying to employ that philosophy. 2-0. And a big rip by Chorio. He tested him with a changeup and it looked like a pretty hittable location. Looked like it was in the upper right corner of the strike zone. And Chorio, with a massive hack, was right underneath it. DeLabio leans in, gets the sign from Guilamo. Sets at the shoulders, the 2-1. Chorio swings and hits a high pop fly. Whitaker and Hallmark drifting over into the bullpen. Hallmark, near the mound area, makes the catch. And we are going to extra innings. Jacob DeLabio has to work around two runners on and nobody out. He gets the fielder's choice, the strikeout, and the foul out to Hallmark, and we will play 10. Tied 3-3 when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
Finally. Well, this series conclusion will need extra innings to decide a winner. 3-3 score in the top of the 10th inning. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey, thanks for hanging out late with us tonight on this 3rd of July. Woodpeckers hoping for an extra inning win after playing extras just a couple of nights ago. They're only 1-7 in extra inning ball games. This is the fourth time they're playing the Mudcats in extras. They're 0-3. And Leo Stanley Molina leads off with Yuris Ramirez as the extra runner on second base. Leans out of the way of a slider, but it's called strike one. This is now back-to-back series between Fayetteville and Carolina that have featured two extra inning ball games. Here's the 0-1, and Molina reaches out, tips a slider, and fouls it off.
Folks sticking around for some late game fireworks, or post game fireworks, I should say. They're getting some late game fireworks now with the exciting conclusion in this one. And I wonder if the approach changes for Fayetteville compared to the ninth inning. It certainly didn't work when they tried pushing across the go-ahead run. Will they learn from their mistakes here in the 10th?
The Woodpeckers do not have a base hit tonight with a runner standing in scoring position. They're 0-6, and Molina swings it one down to the dirt, gets away from the catcher, Garcia, and he throws up the first baseline, but that's a productive strikeout. Yuris Ramirez gets down to third base. So that's what you try and do in extras. You got to make sure you advance that runner on your first at bat. And Molina does record the out. He strikes out, but gets Ramirez down to third base. One away, and here's Logan Cerny. Cerny's singled and driven in the last run that Fayetteville scored, a sac fly in the fifth inning. Pitch to Cerny, huge rip, but he's late on a fastball, 0-1.
Some defensive changes after last inning. The catcher is now Jose Cibrian, who pinch hit for Garcia. Right. Over at first now, Luis Silva coming on to replace Vargas, who pinch ran for Chirinos.
0-1 is called a strike on the inner half of the plate. Cerny didn't like it, but it's 0-2. Flags are still whipping in from dead center field. Our ball game approaching the three-hour mark as Vasilotti sets at the chest, throws his 0-2. Cerny takes, and it's on the low outside corner. That's strike three. Well, he got an inside strike call and then an outside corner strike call, and Cerny walks back to the dugout without an argument. Back-to-back strikeouts for Vasilotti. He's recorded all five of his outs with the K. Going back to the ninth inning, he worked around a man on third, nobody out situation, struck out three. Now he's trying to do it again here with Justin Williams at the plate. And he takes a slider over the middle, 0-1. Williams singled his first trip up back in the first against Carlos Rodriguez, an inning where the Woodpeckers scored two of their three runs. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Down and away for a ball, 1-1. You thought, Colin, when the first inning started with walk, two-run home run, walk, single, that it was going to be a night of runs for the Woodpeckers, but Carlos Rodriguez settled in. The starter went five. Brandon Jordan pitched the sixth, seventh, and eighth, and Vasilotti has been solid in the ninth, and all that early momentum has really slowed for Fayetteville. 1-1 pitch. Williams takes a cut and dumps it into the screen foul.
That first inning was a big missed opportunity for the Woodpeckers. First four batters of the game reached base. You scored two runs and just couldn't get any more after that. And now they find themselves in extra innings and struggling to score runs all of a sudden.
Yeah, they left the bases loaded in that first. Ramirez walking off that third base bag. Vasilotti sets and throws his 1-2 to Williams. It's a down and away slider and a big backhanded pick from Cibrian. Prevents the wild pitch and saves the run.
Not showing much rust back there. Might be a bit of a benefit to get a fresh catcher back behind the plate after the starter Garcia was there for nine innings, get some fresh legs. And Cibrian's got a lot of synergy as well with Vasilotti. He's caught him plenty of times this season.
Fayetteville's left seven runners on, trying to cross Ramirez from third, the extra runner. Another two-strike pitch to Williams, and he pops it up. Foul side of first, out of play it goes onto the roof of Five County Stadium. And he'll keep it at 2-2. You have Tyler Whitaker on deck, who's 0-4 with a couple of strikeouts. So Williams trying to do something here. 2-2 incoming. Scoots out of the way of a slider. And that'll fill it up. Three balls and two strikes. Vasilotti has recorded a save this week. Been the late game guy. Recorded a pair of saves even, but right now he's trying to get a W. 3-2 pitch. And a soft fly out to center. Charging forward is Chorio. Middle infield goes back on it. And it's caught by Garcia. Garcia and Zach Robbie got tangled up for a moment. Chorio makes it. Garcia had his hat knocked off of his head, but came up with the baseball. And the Woodpeckers are unable to score in extras for the second time this week. And now they have to try and prevent another walk-off by the Mudcats. We'll go to the bottom of the 10th inning. It'll be Chorio on second base. And Jacob DeLabio going back on the mound when we come back.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home, since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest.
The 86 cleanup hitter, left-hander Edgar Perez.
Bottom 10, Fayetteville unable to score in the top half. They leave Yuri Ramirez stranded over on third base. And here in the bottom half of the inning, the Mudcats will have Jackson Chorio, a speedy runner, on second base, and cleanup man Hedbert Perez digging into the left side. Jacob DeLabio has been pitching since the eighth inning. Worked around a tough spot in the ninth when the game-winning run was on third base. And now he'll face the pressure once again. And the first pitch missed up and inside to Hedbert Perez. It is a 1-0 count. Perez has reached twice on a walk and grounded out twice to first. The pitch is a breaking ball down and in. Close one, framed by Guillamo, but it's ball two. DeLabio was on the mound in extras earlier this week. He was on the bump in the final game of June, June 30th. The pitch, swinging a foul off of the catcher and goes to 2-1. DeLabio came on in the 10th inning and gave up an RBI single to Henry Mendez that walked it off for Carolina. Mudcats are 3-0 against the Woodpeckers this year in extras. The Woodpeckers 1-7 overall beyond the ninth inning. The pitch is low and outside. Three balls and a strike on Perez. Been patient all night. A walk would be his third, and Guillamo is going out to the mound. There was a little bit of controversy involved in that Thursday night ball game. DeLabio, when he was facing Mendez, thought that he had strike three. It was called a ball, and then moments later he came up with the RBI single. And DeLabio was left with the loss in his decision and fell to 0-3 on the year. I'll make it 0-1 with the loss, and foul ball back into the screen by Perez. 3-2, full count. Eduardo Garcia on deck, Zach Robbie in the hole. Baseball got loose from the bullpen briefly. There's a right-hander warming for the Woodpeckers. It looks like to be Jason Schroeder out there in the bullpen. DeLabio, the high set, and 3-2. Very high, that's ball four, and Hedbert Perez walks.
It always hurts to give up a leadoff walk in extras, but it is a bit of a fail-safe option. Give up that base runner, give yourself a chance at a double play ball, or worst case, ground ball hit to the left side of the infield. You could go for that force out at third and try to get the lead runner. So several different options for this Fayetteville infield in terms of what kind of outs they want to get.
So Eduardo Garcia, the new hitter. First pitch, fastball strike. And it's 0-1 on Garcia. He doubled home the tying run in the eighth inning. Scored Jackson Chorio, who ironically is on second base again here. The 0-1 pitch, down and away with a slider. 1-1 on Garcia.
And with Chorio on second, that's why, Chappy, I think if you can, try to get that force out at third and get him off the base paths.
The walk isn't the worst thing. You force the all base situation here as the slider misses down and away. The count is 2-1. DeLabio pitching for the strikeout or some ground ball contact. Hallmark's guarding that line at third. Here comes the pitch. And a ground ball hit toward short, backhanded by Whitaker. He goes to third, and the low throw is snared by Hallmark. He picks it with a backhand, and they get the leading runner sliding in. Smart play by Whitaker, moving to his right. Probably had just one option, and that was to go to third. Yet Perez with a good break probably would have made it into second with a throw. No chance to get Eduardo Garcia over at first. And Whitaker and Hallmark link up for a crucial first out, keeping it a first and second situation, and bring up Zach Robbie, the righty. First pitch his way is bounced towards the middle, past the mound. Whitaker moving to his left, and it gets through him. It's in the shallow center. Perez comes around, the throw to the plate, not in time. He scores, and the Mudcats have walked off the Woodpeckers for the second time this week. They score four unanswered runs to win 4-3 and take 5 of 6 games in this series. They're 4-0 against the Woodpeckers this year in extra innings, and they do it again tonight in the 10th.
That's a tough one right there. Ground ball straight up the middle. Looked like it could have been in double play ball to get out of the inning, and it just gets under the glove of Whitaker. He had a great play, get the force out just before then, and that ball just gets by him, had eyes, ended up in center field, and just closes out a very frustrating series in Zebulon for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers.
Perfect word, Colin. Frustrating end of this series for Fayetteville. Had a 3-0 lead after 5 tonight, but can't hold on, and they fall 4-3 in 10 innings. And Zach Robbie is the walk-off winner tonight with his RBI single. We'll wrap it up on the other side. The post-game show is coming up in a moment, and we'll tell you about how this one unfolded tonight. Final at 10, the Mudcats take it 4-3.
Baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. And just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Welcome back inside the broadcast booth. This is the Woodpeckers postgame wrap-up. And tonight, Colin, it was all too familiar of a scene. Extra innings between the Woodpeckers and the Mudcats, and the Mudcats walk it off in the bottom of the 10th inning. We told that story on Thursday in the June 30th game before this weekend. That was a 1-1 game going to the 10th, and the Woodpeckers were unable to score in the top of the 10th inning, and Carolina ultimately walks it off. Today, they do so again, 4-3, the final score. RBI single from Zach Robbie with one out. Scores Hedbert Perez from second base. Looking back on that play, Colin, it was tricky to gauge. Tyler Whitaker had a long way to go from short. The ball kind of got right under his glove as he tried to extend at the last moment. Felt like a play where you don't necessarily have to get an out, but just got to do everything you can to try and prevent it from going to the outfield, knock it down, and try and keep that runner at third, Hedbert Perez, who probably would have stopped at third had Whitaker knocked down the ball, kept it from going into shallow center field. But, of course, hindsight, 2020, and Whitaker had that one squeezed right under him, and Robbie's RBI single gives the Mudcats their fifth win this week. They take 5 of 6, two of which in coming walk-off fashion in extra innings. And with the win, they improved to 39-36. Fayetteville, 33-41. Offense started hot tonight, Colin, but that situational hitting just wasn't there the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And really all series long, they just couldn't get big hits. Same thing happened last night in the 4-3 loss. Just a couple of big hits shy. That first inning, definitely something to look back on. First four batters of the game reached base, but you only end up scoring a pair of runs on the two-run home run from Leo's Danny Molina. And from there on, just a couple of other missed opportunities. The eighth inning, ninth inning, they just couldn't quite get that big hit. Tenth as well, unable to push across that run. And you look back, obviously, the play to end, it was a tough one. Who knows what would happen if Whitaker could have gotten his glove on that. But there was multiple mistakes in the field earlier in the ball game that really kind of set the Woodpeckers back. He had the play in the outfield that led to the tying run coming across to score eventually. Just not a great series defensively for the Woodpeckers. Obviously not great clutch hitting-wise. I think the pitching deserved a little better. Carlos Calderon was really strong out there on the mound up until that sixth inning where he gave up the home run to Jefferson Caro. But just a bitter taste left in the mouths of the Woodpeckers. And the good news is they won't have to wait long to get things back going again with baseball being played tomorrow.
Yep, they hop on the bus and head right back to Fayetteville. We'll play the series opener tomorrow against the Down East Wood Ducks in the beginning game of that six-game series. Tuesday off day since we play a Monday 4th of July game. Come on out to the ballpark. Some general admission tickets, less than 1,000 at this point, still available. So grab them while you can at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. Not many will be available if you just walk up to the ballpark tomorrow. So try and grab them online or call our box office beginning at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Just a couple of final totals again from this one. The Woodpeckers tonight go 0-9 with runners in scoring position and leave eight runners on, the eighth runner being Yuri Ramirez at third base in the top of the 10th inning. Carolina wasn't great with runners in scoring position either. They were 2-14, but one of those two base hits, the Zach Robbie RBI single that wins things in the 10th inning. Final line score, Fayetteville, 3 runs, 7 hits, and 2 errors. Carolina, 4 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error. They improve to 39-36 overall and get to above 500 in the second half at 5-4. Meanwhile, the Woodpeckers fall to 33-41. They've dropped their last 4 ball games here on the road. Only win this week was the win on Wednesday night, and they are now 2-6 over their first 8 second half games going back to Fayetteville. Make it 2-7 rather over their first 9 second half games before the start of next week's series. The loss tonight goes to Jacob DeLabio, his second loss of this series, both coming in extras. 1 inning and 2/3 of work and the 1 earned run against him in the 10th inning because the extra runner was retired, forced out down at third. It was a walk to Hedbert Perez that allowed him to reach, and he comes home to score. So an earned run to DeLabio. That gives him an ERA for the first time this year also at 1.08, and his record falls to 0-2. Meanwhile, Michele Vassalotti got either a save or a win every time he stepped to the mound this week. He improves to 8-1, throwing 2 scoreless innings and striking out 5 Fayetteville Woodpeckers in another great performance. Final time of game, 2 hours and 54 minutes to get our 10 innings in tonight and our Sunday night 5-county stadium crowd of 5,208. We do not have starting pitchers to this point for you for tomorrow, but stay tuned to Woodpeckers social media for all of that information. First pitch at 6:05 tomorrow at Segra Stadium in game 1 of 6 between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the visiting Down East Wood Ducks, the single-A affiliate of the Texas Rangers, will be in town all of next week. The Woodpeckers then go on the road to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to play the Pelicans for the first time this year, and that'll lead into a four-day All-Star break in the middle of July. That'll do it for Colin Casey and myself tonight. Thanks so much for hanging with us throughout the entire weekend. Hope your 4th of July weekend has been fun, safe, and filled with memories. And we hope to make some of those for you tomorrow out at Segra Stadium. Again, 6:05 first pitch, and Colin and I will be on the air with you beginning at 5:50 live on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. And you can find us as well on MILB.TV. Final line scores for one final time. 3 runs, 7 hits, and 2 errors for the Woodpeckers, and the loss tonight, 4 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error for the Mudcats, who go to 39-36, 5-4 in the second half. The Woodpeckers fall to 33-41, 2-7 over their first 9 second half games. For Colin Casey and myself, Andrew Chapman, thanks again so much for making us a part of your Sunday evening and tuning us in all week long here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. We'll talk to you on the airwaves tomorrow at Segra Stadium, everybody. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your night. This has been Woodpeckers Baseball, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. A very happy 4th of July to you.
Listening to Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. For news, stats, ticketing information, upcoming promotions, and merchandise, be sure to visit FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.